across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. Yes, sir. Low quality because it's from YouTube. Off of my phone. Yeah. Internet is down. The internet is down. So we unplug that. We plug that in there. And then we go.
Hello on Queen County. Hello on Talk Radio. Number one lady. Catherine Ball.
Boom shakalak.
Number one lady, but who's the man's voice?
You've heard him on the radio.
Yeah.
You've seen him on television.
That's correct.
You've heard him on the podcast. Live in London.
Yes, where are we from?
Ian Lee.
Here we go. Thank you very much indeed.
Never.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Why is Leslie so quiet? Leslie, be louder. Leslie. Oh, here we go. What happened to Leslie? Who did this to Leslie?
That was shock.
Thank you.
Trying to silence Leslie
just because he's a black man. We will not stand for that. No racism on this show, guys. Except towards the Chinese. Jokes. What a shit day. It really is. Horrific news that we were kind of here. I think we were hearing about it towards the end of last night's show, weren't we?
Right, that's what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
I think we were hearing about it towards the end of last night's show. But certainly when we got home, we had. Because
I wasn't listening.
Someone mentioned it on my Periscope about Christchurch.
Oh, wow.
Horrendous. If you want to call in about that, because that's such a big thing to take in, and although it's on the other side of the world, Christchurch, I didn't go to Christchurch, I didn't went to Auckland, I think. But Christchurch is where they've had those big earthquakes, home of the big earthquake. So, a place touched by tragedy several times. Listen, we're not really going to kind of delve into it because you've heard about it all day. If there's any more to it, of course, we'll bring it to you. However, if you feel like you want to phone up and talk about it, then we certainly wouldn't turn you away. Because it's such an horrendous, it's just huge. And it's horrendous, and maybe you've got family over there, or maybe it's just impacted on you because of whichever God you choose to pray to, or maybe it's made you have a little rethink about your... I don't know. So we're not really going to kind of dwell on it. You know, there are people throughout the day on this station and other stations who are far better qualified than Catherine and I to kind of go into the details. And I do think, while we can, you know, we can only point the blame at the nutcase that did it, there has been a culture of bullying, laughing at, belittling, mocking, demonizing Muslims. So I do think that the media around the world and some of the politicians, I don't hold you personally responsible for a massacre. I wouldn't do that. I do think The industry I work in has certainly got a role to play in that, in, you know, the people, I'm not going to name names, you know the people, but the people who think it's okay to lump all Muslims together. If, you know, there's a Muslim bomb goes off, then all Muslims, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I think it's allowed people to think that it's okay to, anyway, that's some heavy shiz, man. That's some heavy shiz. Would you be calling it? I bet, put down the music. I bet you wouldn't be calling out the Pakistani Muslim rape gangs. We have done. Yeah, I bet you wouldn't be calling out the Muslim terrorist, Muslim lover. We have done. So that's that sorted. Okay. I don't know why, Catherine. I don't know if this is me being funny or what. I just hate anybody that kills other people, blows them up, shoots them or rapes them. I just hate those people.
I think that's reasonable.
Whatever their colour, whatever their God, whatever. I just hate those people. You know, I just hate them. So there you go. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call about anything, you would be very, very welcome. Having come off that introduction saying my day hasn't been great, obviously it pales in comparison to what has happened. We know that. So before you start having to go, but I had my second stab at doing my A1 Mod 2 motorcycle exam today. Now, what that means is the A1 means that once you passed it, you can ride a motorbike up to 125cc, so a scooter, really. You have to do three sections. First section is the theory, which I passed. The next one is the Mod 1, which is the driving, but driving around like a little course and doing figures of eights and stuff. I passed that. And the third one is the Mod 2, which is where you go out on the road and you've got a headphone thing and there's a guy behind you on a motorbike and he's telling you where to go and he's observing you. I failed the first one for going too slow. Failed the first one. Me with a lead foot, I failed the first one for going too slow. I had the second one today and I didn't tell anybody. Did not tell anybody. Now, it was earlier than I thought. It was at 9:07. Very precise. 9:07, so I had to get up at 8, and it was near me, and I went, and I was like, yeah, do you know what? It was very windy out today, very windy, a lot of country lanes where I am, and I was getting blown about, and I was thinking, do you know what? I don't care, first of all, I wasn't going to go. Last night, I was thinking, I'm not going to go, stuff it, and then I thought, no, I'm going to do it, because I'm in such a I don't really care kind of mood after the last couple of weeks, after the car crash. Which did involve a motorbike, you know. So I must admit, it's the first time I've ridden the scooter since the car crash, and sitting on it, I felt very, very vulnerable, very exposed. Anyway, I went, and as I'm driving, I'm thinking, I can do this. If the thing I failed on last time was going too slow, I'll tell you what it was. It was slow on country lanes where it was 50 miles an hour, sometimes 60 when its national speed limit applies. That's what it was. And I'd be doing like 35 or something. So I was thinking, right, if it's a case of just, I was going to, I can do it. Just got to hold my nerve and go faster. Fine, I can do that. Got there. They're all ex-coppers, I think. They're very dry. They're nice guys, but they're very dry. And met the guy, put the helmet on, the headphones on, went out, and he asked you the questions about the bike. And he said, what would you do to check the tyres? And I said, right, well, I would check the tread was no less than 1 millimeter. I've got a little toy that does that. And I said, no less than 1 millimeter. He said, yeah, what else? I said, I checked the tire pressure. He said, yeah, what else? I checked for like wear and tear. He went, yeah, fine, okay. You've got, how would you check the steering? I said, we just do that. I went, yeah, fine. He said, right, you've got a pillion passenger, you've got a passenger on. What things would you adjust? I said, right, well, I would look at maybe adjusting the tyre pressure on the tyre because that weighs you down. He went, okay, what else? Sat there literally for 30 seconds. I went, I had 30 seconds. I went, the light, you might have to point the light down because it pushes. He went, yeah, fine, what else? I said, I don't know. He said, the mirrors. I went, oh, yeah, well, obviously, because I would do the mirrors. I'd do the mirrors every time. But I don't think you can fail on those questions.
Right.
So anyway, and it was windy. And so then we pulled off and we got out of the car park and we turned left and we turned right. And then he said in my ear, there's a parking bay there. If you could pull into the parking bay. And I thought, oh, no, we've just started. What have I done wrong? So we pulled over. And he took his helmet off and he got off his bike. And I thought, well, I've failed. Somehow I've failed. And I said, what have I done wrong? And he said, your rear tire's flat.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't completely flat, but he said it was flat. And I just laughed. I just laughed because I thought, yeah, that's my luck. And I just laughed and he showed me and I said, that's it. And he went, yeah. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry for wasting your time. And I shook his hand. And he said, well, listen, it's one of those things. You can book it. You got, 75 quid it cost me. You got to pay another 75 quid. He said, but you haven't got to wait 10 days. You can book it whenever, although the next one is 2 weeks away. And he said, there's a bike shop. So he told me how to get to a bike shop. He said, they might be able to help. And I was like, okay. And I went to the bike shop. And the guy in the bike shop looked at the tire and he went, he stopped you with a tyre like that? I went, yeah. He said, well, it's down a bit, but I said, can you replace it? He said, there's no need to replace it. If you go and pump that up, that'll be all right. And he looked at it and he said, well, And it's down a bit. He said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take it off and I'll change the seal. The seal might be letting out a bit of air, but... Oh, he stopped the test on that. And I was like, oh, no!
Wow, because those guys normally, you know, will highlight any problems. It's in their favour to do so.
I said, well, you might. He said, could you put a tire on? He said, I can, but I won't get the tire till Monday.
Right.
I said, I'll leave it. He said, look, I don't want to take your money because it doesn't need a new... what he did, I mean, it still cost me £60 to get him to put a new seal on it and stuff like that. And he was a really nice guy. And it took him a couple of hours. I went and had a breakfast, a nice fry up. And I was chatting to him. And to get the back wheel off of those bikes, you've got to take the exhaust off. Because the way it's...
Well,
all,
it is all tucked in together,
it's all
it?
Tucked in. And he had it... He was working on it for an hour. He charged me £60, which I thought was very, very fair. And he said, look, just be doubly sure. Next time you go for the test, go to the garage before and just pump it up. He said, just go and check the 32, 32. He said, I think one's meant to be 34. But as long as they're 32, 32, you'll be fine. Double check it. I don't think you're going to have a problem. He said, can't believe he failed. He stopped the test on that. And I was like, no. And here's the thing, right? In the great scheme of things, it's no big deal. But you know what it is, Catherine. And by the way, you passed your mod one. We didn't mention this on air, I don't think.
No, we didn't, because I kept it secret, because I cocked it up twice. And I'm talking about, like, properly cocked it up. First time...
Oh, you did, yeah.
Because I was obsessing about, there's this bit halfway through the test, or near the end of the test.
Stay there, Alan, stay there, Noel, come to you in a second.
Sorry, guys. There's a bit towards the end of the test where you've got to go through, you've got to go up to the end, because it's like in a big sort of playground.
With cones everywhere. It looks wicked.
Yeah, it looks confusing at first, but once you've done it a couple of times... I could probably do it in my sleep now. So they'd sort of tell you to go up diagonally to the back. You have to go through this kind of alleyway of cones. It looks quite tight, but actually you forget, because you're used to driving a car.
Yeah.
You forget that actually it's, you know, you've got plenty of room. You have to come sort of round this curve. And while you're coming, you've got to be accelerating. And then you've got to chop through this other sort of two double row of cones. And you've got to be doing at least 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, it's 50.
No, it's not 50. It's 50 kilometres.
Oh, OK. I apologise. Oh, God, I was zooming through it.
Yeah, well, I hammered it as well. The thing is, because we're on these sort of point and squirt bikes, not geared bikes, you just have to hammer it because, like, pull back as fast as you can on the throttle because...
No, I think it's 50 miles an hour.
Not 50.
It's 50 miles an hour.
It's not.
You carry on.
Was it 70 kilometres?
Yeah, it was 50 miles an hour.
All right, anyway.
Because 30 miles an hour is quite slow. That's a little poodle. No, it's 50, because I got up to 47 the first time I did it, and I was allowed to do it again.
All right, hang on.
So... Trust me, I'm almost a professional.
Anyway, so I was obsessing about that and worrying about getting round the bend safely while accelerating and getting through these cones without knocking any over. And then when you get to the end, he'll either put his hand up for an emergency stop or you have to swerve through some other cones again without knocking over. So I was just seeing like the end of the test and thinking, I've got to hammer through. Then you get two goes maximum.
Yeah.
If you don't get through the speed trap on time, then on the right speed, they'll make you do it again. So I was just obsessing about that. I failed the first one within 2 minutes of starting the test.
That's doing the zigzag.
Because you have to do a slalom through some cones, and then when you get to the end, like, they're all yellow cones, and then there's two blue ones, and when you get to the blue ones, you've got to do a figure of eight until he tells you to stop.
Yeah.
First one, I don't know whether it was windy or what, or maybe I was nervous.
I put my foot down. Yeah.
On the tarmac, and as soon as you do that, you're out. That's like after the third cone. And you know that moment when you go, and that's that then.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the test was easy.
You're a bit dead. Bit dead inside.
Yeah, I was swearing inside my helmet.
This is pointless.
And then the second time around, I told my kids I was going to this thing. Oh, do you think Mummy's going to pass it this time? Yeah, you can do it. And I'd been to practice the cones because I've been dreaming about these cones. And what happened this time was, got to the second to last yellow cone just before the blue ones in the figure of eight. And I was so chuffed I'd done it. Just chopped round them, didn't go through the last cone.
Oh, no.
Again, failed on the cone.
Oh.
So. Third time, I didn't tell anyone I was going because I couldn't bear the humiliation. And I thought, if I don't pass it, no one needs to know.
Yeah.
I can deal with it myself. And actually, I don't need the pressure.
Yeah.
And by the third time when I went for it, I didn't care. I knew the exam, you know, I wasn't nervous because I knew who the examiner was. It's the same guy every time.
Yeah.
And he'd done the frosty thing with me the first time around. But because he knew I could ride the bike afterwards, we had to sort of chat about it. And he went, you're going to breeze this. This is easy. So I knew that he was a decent bloke.
Yeah.
Second time around, he was like, Catherine, you did it again, you know. And so the third time, it was like, yeah, you again. Yeah. We had a bit of a laugh about it. And also, so the mystique had gone.
Yeah.
Because he's one of these blokes who wears sunglasses all the time.
Yeah.
Even indoors.
Ponch.
Scary. Anyway,
so you've done it.
I did it, but now I've got to do that one.
Well, can
we're
I ask
doing this for Supremacy, aren't we?
Have you booked?
No.
You haven't booked it?
I'm enjoying the stress-free moment of I'm clear.
I've booked another one for 2 weeks.
Right.
So bloody stressful.
So this is a battle for supremacy now, because we've got Ian and Cass Motorcycle Club, and the idea
T-shirts
was...
T-shirts are available on ianlee.com.
The idea was whoever passes it first
it's the president.
Is the president.
El Presidente.
And it looked like you were going to ease it, but I might snatch it.
I can see me not doing this, passing this
You're
this
bloody
one
doing it now.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you can give us stories of flat tyres, disastrous days, things that have gone wrong, tests that you failed.
Yeah, things you cocked up straight away.
There we go, you see. 0344 499 1000. It's cost you pennies at the most, probably free for most of you. You'll speak to Amy tonight. She will take your name and number and give you a call back. We've got Noel Taylor, we've got Alan Caddick. We'll get to them straight after this. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, lovely Debbie, who we met at the Slade.
Yes.
Who was delightful. Just sent me a nice tweet. I'm going to stay in touch with her because she was thought she was really lovely and very sweet. And I want to stay in with Team Dave. Love a bit of Slade. 0344 499 1000. Someone's asking what happened to Sam. Sam got a life. Sam didn't like working late nights. You know what? Because he's young. He's young. And
also he's good. So all the programs want him.
He's really good.
Not
he's
that
excellent.
Amy isn't. You stick with us, kid, and you'll be off.
Let's go to Noel Taylor. Good evening, Noel.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Can you invent something that makes the internet here work? Because it's the second night, we've got zero internet, so all I've got is...
My name is Kath.
Got my soundboard and that's it. No internet, nothing.
Total data.
Sorry?
Total data.
He's invented it.
Data.
He's invented it already. What you got, Noel?
You know that I've invented a paradise Earth by putting mirrors on the light side of the moon.
Okay, yes, I do know that. And this paradise Earth, as we know, is fueled by feces.
And excrement.
Feces and excrement,
feces is excrement. And urine, sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. And in order to do that, I've invented a flying saucer that can travel faster than the speed of light.
Now, when you say you've invented it, do you mean you've just thought of it?
Yeah, it's...
Yep. There's a difference between thinking and inventing.
I know that.
Okay, well then maybe just don't use the word invent so often. Replace it with the word thought of.
Yeah, theory.
Well, no, it's not even a theory.
It is, it's a theory.
It's not. It's not a theory.
I'm sorry, but it is.
Well, I'm afraid it's not, because a theory has to have some form of science behind it. And maybe your spaceship that can travel faster than light does have some form of science. Why don't you explain it to us in detail?
Yeah, it's a flying saucer that's got high-powered laser beams, swirling laser beams around its outer edge.
Mm-hmm.
And in the inside of the UFO is electromagnetic waves. It aims at a planet and draws off the magnetic pull of the planet.
Okay, so it pulls off a planet.
So you aim it at the planet.
A whole planet, wow. I mean,
well,
I could have a go, but...
a magnetic pull.
Yep. Oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I've done that. So the next step, the ultimate aim, Ian, is to have...
sex.
Planets populate planets by hollowing them out. And how you do this is by having a metal framework around the planet.
Like scaffolding. Planet scaffolding.
Yeah, yeah, and you hollow it out, and then you...
Can I just pause for a second?
Yeah,
Welcome to our show, Amy. Carry on, Noel.
And then you put triple glazing on the
inside.
Hang
on a minute. Why would you need to put scaffolding around the planet to hollow it out? Because you do that around a building so you can get up the top and so you can get along the... You wouldn't need to do that with a planet, would you?
You would if you was hollowing it out, otherwise you'd be left with nothing.
Well, no, you'd still have the planet. Surely to hollow out a planet, and I'm not the expert here. Don't you just need like a massive drill to drill into the middle... And then, loads of spades to shovel it out.
Oh, and then you put some sort of structure inside it to shore it up, otherwise it'll just crumble.
I'm so sorry. I know exactly how to do it, Noel. You make a hole at one end and a hole at the other, and then you you just blow like an egg.
You'd have laser beams to destroy the rock and everything.
Okay.
And the magma.
Okay. The magma.
Magma.
Magma. Magma is a great word. Can we all just say magma together at the count of three? One, two, three. Magma.
And then you fill it with Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Gosh.
So it's
that escalated quickly, I believe.
Nobody can better that.
No one can better that. Let's go to Dredge of all people. Good evening, Dredge.
I've invented a pill that cures all known diseases, but it's very much at the idea stage at the moment.
Well, is there a theory behind it?
There's no theory behind it. It's just at the idea stage, as I say.
Okay, well...
It's a good idea, don't
you think? I'll give you $100,000 for 5%.
Thank you very much. This is sort of Dragon's Den gone wrong.
It's not Dragon's Den, it's Shark Tank. Get it right, boy!
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank is the American Dragon's Den, because they don't have dragons in America.
This is more like Guppy Bucket.
It's great.
What I was phoning you about was...
Yes, Dredge, I know what you're phoning us about.
Okay, what's this?
I've seen your tweets.
Mind-melding thing.
Dredge has promoted himself to part of the team. And at first, I saw a tweet of his. At first, I got furious. And I was stomping around and I was kicking the cat. How dare he do this? And then I looked online. We have no legal way of stopping him becoming part of the team.
All right.
We've got no legal way. Anyone can do it. Anyone can just say, right, well, I'm part of the team as this. And I've looked and I spoke to my league. I spoke to my lawyer. I spoke. My lawyer is Jeeves, and I asked him. And we have no legal way of stopping any of these jokers becoming part of the team.
What is he like? Team physio or something?
Go on, Dredge. Tell us what you are.
Entertainment correspondent with all your entertainment news.
No. Give us the full title, please, Dredge.
Entertainment correspondent spelt wrong.
There we go. That's what he is. The entertainment correspondent spelt wrong.
What, correspondent?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
It was. So, John, as much as I hate you and despise you, you scumbag, as much as I don't want you or anybody else being part of this team, legally there's nothing I can do to stop it. So welcome aboard. But
Thank you. I was thinking, entertainment news, how difficult can that be? I mean, you did it yourself on Good Morning Britain.
They told me what to say. I was remembering, when I was at LBC, for about 6 months, I had a job, I think it was Sunday mornings, on the show, on Capital Radio. I had a little slot on Capital Radio, the show hosted by Margarita Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Who's such a nice woman. And I would go into Capital Record, Capital Radio on a Sunday morning, go through the papers and go into her show three times and do funny stories from the newspapers. I'd forgotten all about that. It was the weirdest gig. It lasted 6 months. And then they said, well, thanks very much for that. We don't need you anymore. And it was, I have no idea why I was doing it. I'd forgotten about it. Margarita was delightful, just one of the nicest human beings you can meet, and we never had a conversation about why am I here or why are you here. So
until she had that conversation with her boss, and they rectified things.
If anyone's got a recording of that, I'd love to hear it. Anyway, okay, so let's have some showbiz.
Was that an administrative error that you being on there?
It may have been. You know, here's the thing as well, right? When I was at LBC. Right.
They meant to get Ian Dale, so carry on.
Weird times, right? My boss, David Lloyd, called me in one day and he was talking to me. And 10 minutes into it, I thought, oh, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sat there nodding, going, okay, yeah, thank you. And basically what he was saying was, he said, look, we know that another radio station is interested in you doing a show there. We'd be happy for you to do this show on LBC and the show on the other radio station. And after 10 minutes, I went, I'm really sorry, David. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. And what it was, get this, sliding doors, parallel universe moments, right? I was on a short list to take over the chart rundown on Radio 1.
What?
Yes.
My God.
I know, and I'd forgotten about this, and David knew about it, and I didn't. And I went and did a pilot.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
03444991000. This is not a drill. Will we be live tomorrow night at 10? It's a one-off. It's a one-off, guys. You're very welcome to join in. We mentioned Charlie Wolf last night because someone pointed me in the direction of his tweets. I spoke to Charlie today. He is in hospital, but he's all right. He's in hospital, but he's all right. I think he's on quite strong meds, which may be why his timeline looks a little bit shonky. But he's all right. OK, so thank you. I was going to thank the person who tweeted me and I couldn't find the tweet today. So I'm sorry. But I had a nice long call with him and I'm going to speak to him again in a couple of days. I think I said I'd give him a call 2 or 3 days. Don't want to bother him too much. And I said he can call me anytime he wants. So, you know, Charlie's all right. And hopefully when he's well enough and he comes out, we'll get him on the show or something. That would be nice. Let's go to Rafid. Good evening, Rafid.
Have I got on before Caddick?
Yes. Although you sound a bit like an Asian Caddick.
It's the girl on the end of the line. She asked my name. I said it's Rashid.
Oh, it's Rashid! It's Rashid!
Where the hell have you been?
It's like 2 years.
It's been about 2 years. I feel a bit bad because I feel like I used you guys only to get me through the night shift when I was doing the lorries.
Oh, as soon as he gets a proper job, he turns his back on us.
No, but I have been listening in the background and I've, you know...
In the background? Oh, wow, we've been wallpaper. Thanks a lot, Rafid.
Sorry, Rafid. And I said to the girl...
She's a racist. She's anti-Islamic. And I apologise, but she works on Julie's show.
I said to her, my name is... And she said, can you spell it? So I said, R for Romeo, A for Alpha, S for Sierra...
Did you actually do the...
F for Fiera.
And you still got it wrong. Rafid, I do like Rafid, though. I might use that.
Yeah. Well, what do you want?
Your
plastic fan.
What is your
fake fan? What do you want?
I'm a top fan on Facebook. I've got a top fan badge.
Yeah, I don't dish those out. Facebook does it automatically, and I'm going to ask them. Facebook also streams live murders, so I wouldn't take anything they hand out as being particularly good.
Ian, what have you got? What is your question tonight, please?
My question tonight is, where the hell has Rafid been? And it's been answered. Wow! That only took 43 minutes. I thought we were going to get 3 hours out of that.
No, I started in the charity sector. I've been to Bangladesh. I went to the Rohingya refugees. I've been in Uganda.
What?
I've been in Kenya, the world's biggest slum.
Have you really?
Unfortunately, it's got there's somewhere in the Guinness Book of Records somewhere for the world's biggest slum.
Yes! Have you really been to these places?
Yeah, because I...
Wow, man. I think you mentioned before that you do a lot of charity work and stuff, but you don't like to talk about it. That's a joke. So what have you been doing?
I was in at the deep end. They put me into... They gave me a budget and they said, look, the Rohingya need some help. So I went there with £20,000 and I delivered £20,000 worth of aid to a refugee camp, me and two lads from Birmingham. It was like an episode from The Apprentice. I was in Dhaka in Bangladesh.
Wow.
Getting all the stuff
The Apprentice XL. I mean, yes, this is some Apprentice.
I got all the mosquito nets, the blankets, the women's clothes, and then we had to get the transport. And the lads who I went with, they're two Bangladeshi lads from Birmingham, and they were telling me, Rashid, Bangladesh is the most corrupt country in the world. You can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how am I going to deliver the aid then if I can't trust anybody? So there was a little bit of dodginess, but we managed to get a truck full of aid to the camp, to the refugees, which I...
Hey, man, that's brilliant. Yeah. That's incredible.
And it seems things I've done in my life, like lorry driving and logistics and warehouse work, it all came together.
Wow.
Yeah, it all came together.
Were you not scared? Because, listen, I went to Pakistan years ago, and I would love to go back, but I'd be too scared now. I went when it was a different country 21 years ago. It was a different country then. Mm-hmm. And also, I was very naive. Now, being an older man and the world being so... Well, bits of it are dangerous, man. Were you not worried?
The worst thing about Bangladesh is the road traffic accidents. People pray for each other when they're going by road. Like here, when we're going on a plane journey, people say, oh, pray for me. There, by road, it's absolutely horrendous. You've got lorries, articulated lorries, coaches, rickshaws, people.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
When I was in Karachi, I remember there's a big billboard, and they have billboards advertising movies and stuff like that. Movies tend to do the same thing. But we saw a big billboard, and it said something like, and it was like a cut, a drawing. Don't forget to slow down. Don't forget when you want to slow down, use your brake.
Wow.
That was the poster. And it was a picture of someone pushing a brake in the car. It was reminding me because they just go around the corner. And also we saw a taxi that had driver, kids sat on the driver's lap, three people in the passenger seat, yeah. God knows how many in the back. Five kids in the boot. The boot was open and five kids just sat in the boot. It was incredible. So, yeah, I can well imagine that Bangladesh, the standards are even lower there.
Yeah. Ian, Hang on, shut up. The reason why
Shut up. Well done. Thank you for what you've done. I don't know what I wish I could do it actually because I probably could if I looked into it, but I'm really grateful that there are selfless people like you, Rashid. This is genuine, right? There are selfless people like you that will go and do that for other people in the world that are less fortunate. So thank you very much, man.
Yeah, it makes my heart sing to know people like that.
I feel like I've found my calling, a niche like that, that I'm enjoying it at the moment.
Wicked. Good. Well, thank you, brother. That's a wonderful thing to do. Go on.
Isn't it funny as well, like you mentioned it there, that everything you've done in your life has sort of built up to that and made you brilliant at doing this. Yeah. It's like it was meant to be. Wonderful.
It was amazing. Some of them... anyway, the reason why I called was... I've written a poem.
Oh, God.
It's a bit cheesy, I know. It's a bit cheesy.
We hate poems and we hate homemade poems, but...
The reason why I've wrote this poem...
You've travelled around the world. Go on.
...is because... Whenever there's an atrocity around a terrorist attack, an atrocity, Facebook comes alive and everybody starts tweeting. But today, what's touched me is even my own family members. I'm a Muslim convert. I have a non-Muslim family. This what's happened in New Zealand, not even a letter or a sentence. And I don't know why. I don't know. It's just touched me that they're not responding. Like I always, it doesn't mean anything when you put a tweet out. When you put like I stand with Manchester, I stand with. Yeah. It doesn't really mean anything.
Sending thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, it doesn't mean. But today, the lack of it from my own family members, just.
Go on then. We wouldn't normally, but because it's you and this is a very special, unique case. Of course you can, man. Go on.
All right. I'm just going to go for it. I've just phoned up to say it. I just don't know why. But I love people. I am a people person. I love people of all shapes and sizes, all colors and creeds. I love everyone, not only black, white, and Chinese. In fact, I say more blacks, more dogs, and don't leave out the cats. Sorry, but I don't love rats. And yet, more Irish, they're being born every day in their thousands. Welcome to this world we share. You're not a terrorist with your ginger hair, which I love, by the way, because of a few atrocities have happened in your name in the past. I will not blame you for every blast. I asked my dad if Guinness would make a halal version just for me, as super malts just don't cut it, to which he said, son, shut it. I love people who pray on their knees. I love people who don't even eat cheese. I get along with vegetarians with ease. I love people that have no disease of hate in their hearts. I love football. I think it's great. But not every fan is filled with hate. In fact, 4 billion of us fanatics worldwide, if we were all hooligans, you would never go outside. So why should Muslims have to hide? I don't love people who carry out diabolical crimes. They don't get a heart from me. They shouldn't get a second thought from anyone. Lock them up and throw away the key. And as for the ones that blow themselves up into pieces, that's some next level diseases, devil's hearts in the bodies of men. My heart goes out to all the innocent victims of hate, wherever it happens across the globe. From New Zealand to Manchester, you are my brother, you are my sister. I love you.
Hey, that was good, Rashid. That was beautiful, brother. Thank you, mate. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks, Ian. All the best.
And I'm sorry that it's taken something as shitty as, some arsehole shooting a load of people for you to call us up again, and I hope you'll call us soon.
I'll call you again, mate.
Thank you, Rashid.
All the best.
Bye, Rashid.
What a lovely guy. I like that. That was a great poem as well. Thank you, man.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You talk to Nigel, because I balls that up, and I'm trying to work out how to do this thing.
Okay.
I'm not very good at computers, as you can tell.
Hello, Nigel.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, you're right.
No, I rung up because I'm in a bit of a state at the moment, really.
Why? What's going on?
Shall I explain? Because I paid all my bills, I paid the poll tax last out of my bills, and now I've got no money for food till next Wednesday, and I shouldn't have paid so much on the bills. I've tried selling things, but I've got to go back tomorrow, try and sell a teapot in Maidstone for a bit of cash, but I can't seem to sell anything at the moment. And I pawned a ring and got £20 for that earlier and spent the money, but you have to buy the ring back, you know, for food. But I've got my mum's wedding ring. I can't get off my finger at the moment to pawn that for some money. I can't seem to get it. I think my finger's got fatter. But anyway, and I couldn't get, you know, try and get money off the benefit money, a special amount to come on with till the next one. I couldn't get that either. So I just, you know, I've got £1 to my name until next Wednesday, you know.
Oh, blimey, you are in a pickle, Nigel.
Yeah, so I won't be able to eat hardly anything for a week, they just don't care, even if you've just lost your mum, do they?
Have you spoken to the council about the situation you're in?
Yes, I've rung them several times, the job centre and the benefit office I spoke to,
right.
And they won't give me an emergency payment. It isn't fair, is it? I've never been without any money before, you know.
Oh, God. Right.
You know, it's been worrying for hours and hours. I just don't know how to get any money.
No.
For food, you know, just for food. And I can't buy even a toilet roll, you know, because I haven't got enough money to buy a toilet roll.
Right, Nigel, don't pawn your mum's wedding ring, because you won't get anything, you won't get a fraction of what it's worth, all right?
No. You buy it back with the money that
I know how pawning works, Nigel. Don't do it with anything else you want. Don't do it with your mum's wedding ring, because you might not get the money to get it back.
No.
So don't do it.
No, of course. I've already got one ring that I've got to get back, which she bought me a gold ring.
Okay. Well, then that's fine. All I'm saying is, don't do it with the wedding ring, right?
No. I'm going to try and sell, in a second-hand shop, I'm going to try and sell a teapot, which is rather good that she has.
You won't get much for a teapot. Are you friends with the local vicar?
Yes, I went up to him a couple of days ago and I said, I'm not the man to speak to about money, he said. He wouldn't give me any money.
Could you ask him for some food?
No, he wouldn't give me anything at the time. No,
that's the man of God for you. That's Christian. That's a very Christian attitude, to not give a man who's struggling a bit of food.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you get put in touch with a food bank?
You need to be referred.
I'm a long way from the town, so it's hard to keep going into town. I've only got a bicycle.
You need to be referred, don't you, by social services?
Social services. Are not coming to see me for a couple of weeks because the people have gone on holiday that are going to sort it out, the benefit out.
Is there anyone you can ask for? So when are you going to get money?
Next Wednesday.
Okay, all right. So we've got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Well, you've got 5 days, right?
4 days or something.
Yeah, 4 or 5 days. Yeah. Is there not anyone who can give you a loaf of bread, you know, a dozen eggs and some bacon or something?
No, I buy those dinners that only cost £1.40 to go in the oven, you know, sausage and chips or something. That's what I normally buy because it's cheaper.
Well, there's cheaper ways. Well, this is the thing. There's cheaper ways of eating than that.
Well, I've got soup as well. I've got a tin of soup, which is okay.
So how much food have you got in the house?
All I've got at the moment is one dinner in the fridge and a tin of soup. Yeah. That'd be all right for one day or two, anyway.
Right. If you go to your GP and ask to be referred to a food bank, they can do it.
Yeah.
Can you make an appointment?
I could go to one when I go and try and sell that teapot, couldn't I, to a food bank?
No, you need to be referred. So someone in authority needs to give you a voucher.
You need to make an appointment with your doctor.
I tried all my friends and no one seems to have got any money anyway. Lots of people haven't got any money to give away.
This is what I was worried would happen. This is what I was worried.
Well, I shouldn't have spent so much on the bills, like get £30 for this, £20 for that, another £20.
So has all your money gone?
On bills, yeah.
Right. So what happens?
I didn't want to get behind with the bills.
What happens when the next set of bills come through? Where are you going to get the money for them?
One week is not going to make much difference to some of the bills because they know they're going to get some money the following week.
Well, okay, but when the next electricity bill or gas bill or rent comes through, where are you going to get the money to pay them?
Didn't you have?
I thought you had a couple of grand or something.
No, it all went on bills, but to catch up with the bills that Mum owed, you know.
Well, what about when the next set of bills come in? What are you going to do then?
No, it's okay. Once I get my benefit money, I can pay the electricity, which is only £30 a fortnight. That's about
£30 a fortnight. That's 60 quid a month.
Yeah, but then I had a rebate not so long ago because I was paying too much. I think they've got it all muddled up. To be honest, I shouldn't be paying so much.
You need a responsible adult.
The social services are going to look through my bills to sort it out, they'll be able to help me, won't they? The social services.
Yeah, you would think so. But they're telling you that there's someone's away for 2 weeks.
By the 24th of March, they're supposed to be ringing me.
You need to phone them up and tell them you've got no food.
Yes.
And that you've got no money.
Yeah.
And that you're pawning your mum's heirlooms.
Well, I have spoken to them during the week and they said they couldn't do anything at the moment.
Well...
Yeah. Anyway, not to worry. It's not your problem. I'll manage. Don't worry. I might be able to sell a teapot for about a tenner or something.
Mate, you might be able to. You might be able to.
I mean, I don't spend much. I mean, £10 would last me at least about 3 days. Because I only want one meal a day and a couple of drinks. That's all.
Yeah.
I just feel so sad.
Have you told your brother you're going through this?
Yeah, he's listening to the programme now. He listens to the show every night and they haven't got any money to send me.
No, but maybe he can help you speak to the right people about getting something sorted out so you're not doing this every month.
You need a grown-up. You need a grown-up, Nigel, that can help because this is going to keep happening and it's going to keep happening.
Well, the problem is that I can't keep up with the bills. They just keep mounting up. They just keep mounting up all the time.
Right, Nigel.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know your full address?
Of course, yes.
With the postcode and everything?
Yes.
Right. Are you going to be in Sunday afternoon?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
If you want me to be.
I do want you to be. I'm going to hand you back to Amy.
Yeah.
And I want you to give Amy your full address
and
postcode and phone number, all right?
Is that a producer?
That's the lady you spoke to when you came on, okay?
The producer, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do tomorrow morning is I will do a little Tesco shop for you.
Yeah.
Right? And I will try and get the food delivered. They won't deliver it tomorrow.
I'm hoping
they'll deliver it Sunday, but it might not be until Monday.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks so much.
So,
You're going to pay for it?
Yeah. I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it.
God bless you. Thank you.
It's all right, but come on, buddy. Don't cry because we'll sort this out. We'll sort this out. I'm not going to have you go hungry, right? You've provided us with so much entertainment. I'm not going to let you go hungry. Don't worry. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
I miss my mum so much.
I know you do. I know you do. And it can all get a little bit too much, can't it?
And I'm falling asleep, so I'm so tired.
I know you are. Listen, you're not pawning your mum's ring. Don't do that. I'll be angry if you do
I've
that.
I've had to sell everything that was worth it.
Go on, Kath wants to say something.
Also, can you leave the details of the person you're speaking to in social services, and I'm going to make some inquiries.
What we want, just to say, I'm going to hand you back to Amy. We want your full address... And your postcode and the phone number, please.
Right.
And also, if you know it, the name of the person at social services and which...
Well, I don't know, because several people have run...
Okay, all right.
So you don't have one particular social worker?
No.
Okay, well, what we need to know, and don't say it on the air, say it to Amy, we need to know the name of the social services, like what your local council is. Do you know that?
No, I don't. It's just...
Don't worry.
Social services is all I know.
All right. All right. Is it? You're in Maidstone, yeah? All right, don't worry. Listen, give
me the one for the
Don't worry. Give Amy the address, and I'm sure we can work it out, okay?
Okay.
So don't put the phone down. I need you to phone me tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, though, okay?
What's that for?
So that I can just confirm that we've done it, and I'll let you know when the delivery's coming, okay? But I'll pay for it. Some food will come hopefully Sunday, maybe Monday. It'll be paid for. You don't got to worry about that, okay?
Okay, thanks. God bless you.
Have you got, just to check, have you got a microwave? Do you like cooking meals in the microwave?
I've only got an oven, not a microwave.
Okay, but if I were to get some ready meals that you could put in the oven...
Yes.
You'd be able to do that, yeah?
Yes, of course. That's the ones I'm used to use.
And maybe a few tins of soup?
Yes.
Some bread and some eggs? Could you cook eggs?
And I drink Coca-Cola, little tins of Coca-Cola.
I'm going to get you some little tins of Coca-Cola. But can you cook eggs if I got you some eggs?
I don't need to eat. I don't eat eggs now because I just have a normal dinner. Like sausage and chips.
Sausage and chips. All right. So I'll get you some ready meals you can put.
Sausage and mash, you know.
I'll get you some ready meals you can put in the oven. Do you want some sweets and stuff?
I like some cakes.
Some cakes, all right.
And any sorts of cakes, yeah.
I'll do a shop that will last you until you get your money on Wednesday, okay?
Until Wednesday. Thanks ever so much.
Now, don't put the phone down.
I'll pay you back. I can pay you back.
No, listen, Nigel, this is my gift. My gift, all right? Mm. I'm going to hand you to Amy now.
Yeah.
And you're going to give her your address, okay?
Right, thank you.
All right, Nigel. Don't worry, man.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
We'll speak to you tomorrow. We're
going to bang you back to Amy now.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm Ian Lee. What's your name?
Catherine Boyle. There
we
go.
There we go. They owed us a show. So we were in doing a show. We have done zero prep. The only prep we have done tonight is argue with Deliveroo. We're waiting 45 minutes for a meal from Deliveroo, right? And it kept doing that thing where it kept pushing it back five minutes.
But then it would go back to saying it was still trying to allocate as a driver, which is the worry.
It said it's preparing it, and then anyway. So we phoned them up, right? And the woman said, they're finding you a driver. I said, okay, well, they've been finding us a driver for a long time. We're hungry. And she went, oh, hang on. No, let me check. No, the restaurant closed. Sorry, what? Yeah, the restaurant's closed. Don't think it's open on a Saturday. I said, right, well, hang on. If we hadn't have phoned you, I can give you £2. I said, no. You can give me a supervisor now. Give me a supervisor now. And she got me a supervisor, and he said, I'll give you £5. I went, no. That is not good enough. I want £20. Came back with a counter offer. Been watching a lot of Shark Tank, the American Dragon's Den. Came back with a counter offer of £20, and he came back and said, I'll give you 15. I went, thanks very much indeed, that'll do, lovely. And then we ordered some food, and it was actually a little bit disappointing.
Well, I ate mine, despite that, and I'm not sorry.
Well, I have got, I'm going to be honest, I think I had a migraine in my sleep last night, because I woke up with a terrible headache. Here's the thing. All right, so I went home last night, got home about 2:30, and I'd left the oven on 220.
Oh, yo.
Since 4:00 in the afternoon. Sweet Lord.
That's going to be toasty.
Well, it was still warm this morning when I went down. And then I left the heating on all night. And Ian, please remember, when you go to bed, turn the heating off. You can do it on your phone, because it always gives me a headache having it too warm. And I woke up and I had a really bad headache. And then I lay in bed and I was watching Limmy on Twitch. And I put my phone on the tripod, and I was kind of dozing from about 9:30 till about 12:30 with Limmy, having the maddest dreams. It was, it was horrendous. I got up, headache all day. Lot of video games. It's been a great... It's the first day off I've had since, I think, around Christmas. And by day off, I mean, I didn't have the kids today either. I've had week... and some people go, whoa, hey, you're saying that having the kids is a day on? Well, you know what? Yeah, I am. So I didn't have the kids today. I got the kids tomorrow, which is great. But it's the first day I've not had work or the kids or anything in the day. And it was like, well, and so I was at 12:30. I thought, I should probably get up. I just went downstairs and I'm defrosting my freezer because I'm getting a new fridge freezer, guys. I'm rocking and rolling. So I took it. What a boring Saturday night show. The bloke that used to be the bloke that stole the strawberries is telling us how he's defrosting his freezer. Can we not have a best of, please? Calls straight to air tonight. We have nothing planned. Catherine has Chat It's Fate.
I do.
The Psychic Bullshine magazine. But apart from that, we have nothing planned. I haven't got any newspapers. I haven't got anything at all. So you, dear listener, are doing the work. It's like when Robbie Williams sings Angels, except he turns the microphone on you. And I know you're thinking, Rob, we paid 75 quid for a ticket. You do the singing. But I'm kind of starting to see the Robbie Williams point of view here. You do the singing. So you can phone up, you can sing, you can make noises, you can have a serious conversation. You can do almost anything apart from two exceptions. You cannot be libelous and you cannot swear. If you do, we've got a 7-second delay. I press a dump button and I cut you off. It's that simple. Apart from that, within those tiny confines or huge confines, within that, bearing those confines in mind, we take calls straight to air. It goes like this. Good evening, live one. Line one, you're live on the radio. Okay, it's a disappointing start to the show. And I often say that if the first call is bad, it's always downhill from there. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless. Oh, jeez. Hello, line two. You're on the radio. Turn your radio off, please.
It's Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn.
Things are looking up.
Catherine was telling me today that you're one of her favourite callers.
You are.
Ah, isn't she lovely?
No, she's a lunatic.
All I'm ringing for is to tell you that I've watched The Afterlife this afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I did. Yeah. I didn't think I was going to, but yeah. I couldn't get used to Ricky Gervais being like...
a heroin addict.
It didn't seem funny or anything.
Yeah. It's not. Apparently, it's not meant to be funny.
Marilyn, what did you think about all the C words?
It was really, really bad. It was terrible. Have you watched it, Kath?
I watched about, I think I've watched 5.5 today. I wanted to give it a fair go.
Don't forget you've got to watch them twice. Otherwise it doesn't count.
I wanted to give it a fair go and I wanted to get it going.
I watched the whole...
Yeah, a lot of C-bombs and I'm not sure they were necessary.
They weren't necessary at all.
I've become a social pariah because I said I didn't like it after watching 15 minutes. I'm not going to go back. But let's put this in. I think I'm genetically predisposed to not like stuff that is really, really popular. Not to be contrary. I just don't like. It's like A Star Is Born. Everyone loved A Star Is Born. I didn't. It's like that. The Death of Stalin. Everyone loved The Death of Stalin. I thought it was. It just didn't work for me. That's the way it goes. We're human beings. Deal with it.
I don't watch a lot of films, but I thought I wanted to see that and see what it is like.
Yeah.
And I tried it the other day and I didn't like it and I turned it off.
There you go, you see.
And then I went back because you were talking about it last night.
Yeah.
And the family had left a bit early for a football match today.
So I
thought, I'll have an afternoon listening, watching that. And you
enjoyed it? Really,
I have really enjoyed it.
There you go. You say you found something that you like, and I would never knock you for that, Marilyn. Thank you very much indeed. 03444991000. Call straight to air. Good evening. Good evening, Line One. I'm just going to adjust the aircon because it's a little bit toasty for me. What have you got for us?
Good evening, Ian and Catherine.
Good evening, Angela.
Good evening, Angela.
I'm stuck. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, you've come to the right place. We're the best. We've got that thing for unsticking superglue because we're parents.
No, that's sort of stuck, but...
Okay.
I know you've been seeing all my videos on Twitter, my photos about my housing issues with the council.
The what? Sorry, say that again. Say that again.
They've been doing some work on the ceiling.
Okay. The council have been doing some work on the ceiling. Okay.
Yeah, and one of my bedroom, the complete ceiling caved in.
Oh, Jesus. Bloody hell.
Yeah. And in David's one, the complete ceiling, but they managed to just secure it a bit.
Right, but the council did this?
Yeah, not the council, but their contractors, but they didn't mean to.
Right, okay. Well, then you need to get onto the council to sort it out. If the council's fault, then the council needs to sort it out.
Yeah. And the manager's coming on Monday.
Brilliant.
And I said, look, I'm asthmatic. I can't live here.
Right.
So I'm going to say to him, on Monday, you've got to sort this out.
Yes. Well, exactly. You have to, yeah. Well, have they cleaned up the mess?
And they did in David's room, and then we had to. I was just about to go in and have an afternoon sleep as a boo.
Yes.
I just missed it by inch. That nearly went on me.
Yeah.
I've been looking down at the MPs that we got. I can't remember if they're Labour or Conservative, but I've been going down.
Right. Well, hang on. When did this happen?
Yeah. This one happened on, I think it was Tuesday, I think.
Okay, right, so it's quite recent. Right, well, and the council are coming out on Monday to have a look at it.
Yeah. And
right, well, then you need to, you can write to your MP, email your MP, tweet your MP, always do that. But you kind of need to give the council a decent time, decent crack of the whip to try and fix it.
Yeah.
They've had less than a week.
And this manager said, look, it's, I noticed bits and bobs coming out, the big gap, and I sent you the video, and he said if we can't fix it, there have to be houses.
Okay, well then that sounds not ideal, but okay, so there's a plan in place, great.
There's a plan. So he said you can have anything you want. I said 2-bedroom bungalow, please.
Okay, there you go.
And I just it's been just. Bit stressful.
Yeah, I bet it's been horrendous. Yeah. I bet it's been horrendous. But it sounds like that they're kind of, if they're coming round on Monday, less than a week after it happened, it sounds like that they are certainly taking it very, very seriously indeed. And obviously, bill them for any damage to any of your stuff that's been caused.
They're both one of my units, but I wasn't too bothered about that one anyway, because I was going to get a bookcase, because I've had that since I've left home.
Yeah.
So I was going to get it's going to go anyway, so...
Okay.
My mum's going to have a lot of our stuff.
Right.
I've had to move all my stuff out of my bedroom because it's, getting a bit... And he was worried about my books because he said, gosh... He says, look, if you can move a lot out...
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he said he was worried... Because I'll show you, I'll retweet you one, and it's caved in.
Okay, but they're going to sort it. But Angela, they're going to sort it out.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then you have to give them the opportunity to. It sounds horrendous. I don't want to belittle what happened. It sounds absolutely horrendous. And lucky you weren't injured. But it sounds like they're going to sort it out, and they will sort it out.
Yeah, and it's just really weird because I said to my partner, I said, just wondering, but it's weird because, it seems to have been on this side of the building.
Right.
It was just, for years and years here, and I've been out on the checklist of something wrong with the leak up there.
No, but hang on, I thought that it was done because the contractors came and did something and did it wrong.
They did, and
right.
But they wouldn't do anything until it happened.
Well, okay. Well, let us know. Well, let us know next week how it goes. But it sounds like the council are on it.
Yeah. Do you want me to send you a video?
Not really.
It's quite interesting.
Well, okay. I don't want to sound cold, but no, I don't need a video. You've described it perfectly. It sounds like the council are going to do something, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you what happened.
Please do. No, we will let us know. Let us know next week what happens, how it goes.
Hang
in there, Angela.
No, no, it's fine. Thanks.
Thanks very much. There you go. 03444991000. Let's try line two. Line two, you're on the wireless straight to air live at 18 minutes past 10 on a Saturday night.
Hello, darling. It's me.
Sorry?
How are you?
Who is this?
Hello, darling. It's Freddie.
Oh, my God!
Hey.
Freddie Mercury!
I need to ring chat, it's fate now.
Viva, 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 viva,
viva, viva, viva, viva, viva.
You guys have got it, man. You guys have got it.
You got it, man. Freddie, this is incredible. From beyond the grave.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to give you a call.
Yes, man. I'm so glad we got Freddie Mercury on the phone from beyond the grave on a Saturday night. This is amazing.
Oh. You got it. You got it, guys.
Okay. Did you want to say anything, Freddie, or did you just want to do a sing along with us?
I just want to say that you guys are good, you know.
Freddie sounds a bit wasted in heaven. He would be. I bet it's pure stuff up there, isn't it, Freds? Oh! Wow! What's going on? Always a performer, a showman. Okay, that was Freddie Mercury calling us from beyond the grave. What an opening 15 minutes.
I feel so very special.
I feel blessed. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Call straight to air until 1 o'clock because, yes, Catherine and I are that lazy.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Let's go to Rico. Good evening, Rico.
Oh, yeah, you're all right, mate.
I'm all right, thank you, Rico. What have you got for us?
Well, you know, I agree with you what you think about, you know, Michael Jackson and everything, you know,
yes.
Bit of a kiddie fiddler and that. And
okay, well done.
I saw Paris Jackson, and, you know, she's got a Baphomet necklace.
She's got a what?
Baphomet necklace.
Right, are we heading to a really bad taste joke?
No, it's because she's on the dark side.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, because, you know, they say about all these elites and that, you know, they're sort of the god they worship slightly different than that.
No, I don't know about this, Rico. Educate me in the ways of being an idiot.
No, I'm not an idiot, honestly. I looked into this stuff.
Okay, right.
My wife got ill. I've been researching this for 10 years.
Okay, so what have you found out about the necklace that Michael Jackson's daughter is wearing?
Well, she's wearing a Baphomet necklace.
A bassinet necklace.
Baphomet.
B-A-P-H.
Okay.
O-M-E-T.
All right, so tell me what that means, then.
But it's Satan. It's like it's like the goat. It's the goat of Mendes, they call it. And basically, if you want to sort of be successful, mega successful, like, you know, like billionaire sort of stuff,
yeah,
you've got to be on them, got to be on their team.
Okay, right. And how come more people don't know about this?
Well, I think they're waking up.
Oh, go on, tell me more.
Well, you know, because I think, you know, because how deep can I go here?
You can go as deep as you want, Rico.
Well, it all started with 911, you know.
Yeah, go on.
You know, World Trade Center falling down.
I remember
down.
It, yeah. Well, didn't, yeah.
You know, no one talks about that. It only had a fire on the top level, and yet it decided to demolish itself.
Yeah, massive great plane smacked into it.
Well, no, they were holograms. They're holographic. No one actually saw the planes. The only people that saw the planes hit into the buildings were stooges.
Actors.
Yeah, actors. Because anyone that was actually there heard the explosions, but they didn't see any planes.
Okay, wow. This is now I've heard some far out 9/11 theories, but the planes being holograms, wowzers, that was pretty cool. Because that was 2001. That was pretty amazing technology. If you look back at Jurassic Park, that was around about the same time, you can tell those dinosaurs aren't real.
Well, I know that, but you see, I'm telling you, they got technology way ahead of what we know about.
Of course they are. Is it alien? Is it alien technology? Or?
Well, I tell you, there's another bloke called Dmitry Kozlov, yeah?
Yes, man.
And he reckons that in the 1970s, if you wanted to build a skyscraper in New York, they'd let you build it, but you had to tell them how you're going to demolish it when you're finished with it.
Okay.
And he reckons there's inbuilt nuclear detonations underneath each of the towers.
Jeez.
And that they were triggered, and that's why a lot of the firemen that were there that day have since died of cancers.
Oh, because I thought it was because of all the dust that they would have inhaled. The dust they would have inhaled from the buildings would have. That wasn't that. It was nuclear.
Yeah, because they don't tell you this, but the core inside kept burning for like up to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a
lot. How come? Hang on a minute. If a nuclear bomb.
Inbuilt, because back in the 70s, like, Russia used to use nuclear detonations for building big gas silos.
If two nuclear inbuilt bombs go off in New York,
Yeah.
How come the blast radius was just the size of those buildings? Surely it would have spread for a couple of miles.
No, 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 because they've got it all down now. You can get backpack nukes now.
Yeah, but okay, right. That what? You know, just go off. That doesn't spread any nuclear radiation.
Well, it spreads. Basically, it's only a small charge.
Okay.
That's why when it came down, if you notice, as it halfway as it came down, literally it turned to powder. It literally turned to nothing. And what they did, the Americans, to get rid of the debris, they shipped it off straight away to get rid of it because they knew people would start looking into it.
Yeah. Well, so how do you know all of this then?
Well, because I spent 10 years looking into this stuff.
Can I ask you a question? Did you spend 10 years looking into this stuff online?
Well, no, because what you do is you have to look, like, you know the term conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
You know that?
My granddad came up with that term.
Well, he did.
That's a true story.
For the CIA.
My granddad came up with that term. He did actually work for the CIA.
Well,
that's a true story.
For the CIA. It's an actual term.
Yeah, I know. My granddad invented it.
Yeah, so you go on YouTube, right?
No. The question was, did you do the 10 years research looking at stuff online?
Well, some of it online, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a big fat spliff in your hand while you were doing it? Did you have a big fat spliff in your hand while you were doing it?
Well, I've always got a big spliff in my hand.
I suspected as much.
Yeah, I know, but you've got to respect the herb, Ian, you see.
I don't have to respect the herb. I really don't. I really don't.
I don't drink alcohol, you see.
I couldn't care less. You're a massive stoner that doesn't work, no, and you're looking...
Honestly, you look,
you and your wife are getting paranoid. You and your wife, shut up. You and your wife are looking at YouTube videos and reading up bullshit from idiots.
No, I'm not reading up bullshit. Look at the chemtrails. Come on. How many times do you wake up in the morning? It's blue skies, right? And then you see these jets go across. And in my day, they were called contrails. It was just water vaporizing, and then they'd disappear.
Chemtrails kill Prince.
You mark my words. You go out there tomorrow.
Chemtrails kill Prince.
Well, no, Prince said a lot of things.
Prince was killed because he knew too much about the chemtrails.
Yeah, but you see, Prince is a bit dodgy because sometimes, you know, you can't be in that club unless you're in the club. And I think sometimes
he was in and he was out.
He wants to say, you know, you can't have it both ways,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? You can't have it both ways,
yes.
Mate. You can't have it.
So they bumped him off.
Yeah, he did bump. And Whitney Houston and her daughter too.
Did they bump Whitney off? Did they?
They bumped Whitney off.
Have any famous people just died because of bad luck, or have they all been bumped off?
I'll tell you what, Ian, do you like Star Wars?
I've seen them. I'm not a massive
remember
fan.
Remember the last Star Wars? You know Star Wars when at the end Princess Leia gives Chewbacca the medals?
Yes.
Right, you go on there now. That doesn't exist anymore. She doesn't give Chewbacca a medal.
Well, I don't know if she did or not.
No. And C-3PO's got a silver leg.
Right.
He never had a silver leg in my day.
Okay, and
another, one more thing I want to
say. Well, no, hang on. What
the
is...
The Mandela Effect.
Oh, God.
No, it's true. Right, listen to this. I've got a classic one for you. You know, in Forrest Gump...
But you've just given me examples of something I don't actually remember because I'm not a big fan of those films.
Okay, was it called Sex in the City or Sex and the City?
I don't really...
Sex and the City.
Yeah.
No, it was known as Sex in the City.
No, it wasn't.
It was, because if you listen to Jay-Z and Beyonce, like those awful cretins, you'll see that they said Sex in the City.
You just said Sex in the City.
See, no,
here's the thing.
Sex and the City.
It was Sex and the City.
No, it used to be Sex in the City.
No, it didn't. It never did. It used to be called Sex and the City.
There's two types of people. There's people, because I believe...
There's people who
think
it was called Sex and the City. There was people who think it was called Sex in the City, and there's people that never watched it because they were idiots.
I'm going to tell you, I never watched it.
You're an idiot.
I watched the box set. No, I can't stand watching
it. It's a great TV series. One of the best.
I don't watch telly, mate. I can't do it anymore.
No, you just watch crap homemade YouTube documentaries on YouTube.
You know that buildings don't do that.
No, I don't. You don't know. When did you get your degree in structural engineering? You didn't. You just watched a load of YouTube videos while sucking on a fat one.
What about architects for 911? All those architects that have got together.
No, you got me on that.
To say when they were built, they were built to withstand. That's an aluminium aeroplane.
Hang on. Well, Rico, stop there.
I'll tell you another
thing. No, Rico, stop. We'll have a conversation, dude. We'll have a conversation.
You
will tell me in a minute.
I've got something.
No, will you shut up and listen?
All right, but one more thing.
No, shut up and listen, you rude liar.
I'm not rude.
You are rude. You won't listen.
I'm not rude. No, man, I'm safe, honestly.
Shut up, then.
I'm not rude.
Shut up, right?
I'm never rude.
So it was aluminium planes, yeah?
Well, you know, planes are light, aren't they?
Right, so it was... Okay, so it was light aluminium planes, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, that smashed into the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
I thought it was holograms. Boom.
No.
Boom.
I'm saying if
you just said it was holograms.
No, this is the thing, though.
You just said it was holograms.
No, I believe it's holograms. Architects for 911 believe it's planes, right?
Right.
That's where I differ, because if you go really deep like me, They don't. I wouldn't even be able to.
Rico goes deeper than actual architects. Okay.
Do you want to blow your mind? Yeah, I'm going to give you something to blow your mind, mate.
But oh, listen, trust me.
For your listeners out there, yes. Put the Challenger disaster in, right?
Yeah.
And then go Challenger disaster crew still alive, and you'll find some of them have died from old age.
I think you're reading the IMDb entry for Capricorn 1, mate.
No, seriously, they're all working in universities. They're the same people. It's everything's bollocks. I tell you, everything.
Everything in the last 10 minutes has been bollocks. I'll give you that.
You know, 1984 says that in the future, right?
Yes.
Remember your history because they're going to change it.
Okay.
That's the Mandela effect. It says as you walk past every house, how many people got these 54-inch tellies on their wall, like cinemas?
You read 1984.
I read 1984. Yeah.
Have you? What, cover to cover?
Yeah, well, a long time ago, yeah, George Orwell, yeah.
Read it again, because
he was an insider as well.
Okay, here's the thing, man. I used to be such a stoner. I used to smoke so much skunk.
Yeah.
Every day, I'd wake up.
All that strong stuff that the government are scared of. Not like it in my day.
Yeah. I used to smoke so much weed. And here's the thing: I would forget stuff. I would believe stuff. I would imagine stuff that hadn't happened, and I thought it had happened.
I understand what you're saying about being a stoner, but honestly, you can't just go into it with, you know, you've got to go for it and sift through the bullshit from the truth.
Well, I'm sifting through the bullshit right now, Rico. Thank you very much indeed for your call. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm so old, right? Because two really exciting things happened to me today. One, I got a new fridge freezer. I'm so old, and it's annoying because it's the same. I could have bought a PlayStation for that, but I got a new fridge freezer, and I'm over the moon. Over the moon. It's nothing fancy. There's no water dispenser. The TV money is gone. There's no water. There's no ice maker.
It is a silver one though.
It's a silver fridge freezer. I've got these really, strong fridge magnets I got from Amazon, right? The listeners want tips. Got them, right.
It's a life hack.
Looking for fridge magnets, because I haven't got any in this place. There were some old ones that the lady left behind. But pictures would keep falling down, right? So I was looking for fridge magnets online. I was going to get some Beatles ones or something, whatever. And then I did these tiny little, tiny magnets, right? And one comment, this is what sold it to me. It got 4.5 stars. I'll get that in a minute, Amy. And one comment said, these magnets are tiny, but they're strong. They're so strong, you need a stronger magnet to get them off. I was like...
Yeah, but then how do you get the stronger magnet
off? Well, there you go. And I got them, and they're tiny, right? They're incredible. So my fridge is now decorated. Big, heavy picture, one tiny little magnet. Wow. It is nuts.
You are living the dream.
So that is... And that's not even... Hang on a minute, let me just take this call. Hello, line 3, you're on the wireless. Oh, Eben!
Eben!
Good evening, both.
How you doing, Ebs?
Yeah, all right, thank you. Pretty busy, that's why I'm...
Eben is a university student working hard to get his degree. Working so hard doing homework, playing video games and getting stoned on smack. Oh, Eben, put down the drugs. Oh, Eben, put down the love. Oh, Eben, put down the controller. And please, little brother, won't you pick up a pen? I wrote that ages ago. I've been waiting for months for you to phone in, Eben.
I don't think they use pens anymore.
Okay. Well, I know, but it's kind of a metaphor.
Now.
I know, I'm a romantic, though.
Yes, mainly computers.
All right, all right.
Media degree.
All right, well, granddad. Do you know what? You can take that song and shove it up your ass. Shove that in your hard drive.
Oh, dear.
Put that in your HDMI port.
Oh, gosh.
Put that in your Thunderbolt.
All right.
And lightning. Very, very frightening me. Put that in your USB 3. Convert that to a WAV file. Then convert it to an MP4.
Gosh.
And put it on your smartphone. And stick it in your balls.
Oh. Hi, Eben.
Great to talk to you, mate. What have you got for us?
I'm just phoning in to say how I have been listening and it's been getting me to sleep and getting me through the night and everything.
Yeah.
And just phoning in to check in to say I'm still around.
We're glad. I'm glad. Ian, are you glad?
I've just reading this. 50 roles to grow, go across BBC radio production. The BBC is asking for volunteers to take redundancy in its radio and music production and operations department to help cut 50 jobs. Well, I tell you what, come to me and I'll give you the 50 people that should go. Oh, I've kept a list. One of them's called Sarah. Yes, Eben, that's great that you're still alive. Well done. Hang on a minute. How do we know this is Eben and not someone impersonating Eben?
Have to take my word for...
Yeah, just got to believe.
I don't believe you. I'm sorry, sir. I don't believe you're Eben. Tell us something only Eben would know.
Maybe... I still work for Deliveroo?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I'm convinced.
Well, you've passed trial one. You next time you call us, you will have to take part in trial two. At the end of the trials, if I am convinced you are Eben, then you will be awarded an apology and my respect. There are 127 trials you will have to complete. You can take no more than one trial every week.
Yes.
And if at any point you do not take a trial for a period of 3 weeks, then I'm afraid the trials will begin from the beginning. Do you understand that, Eben?
Yes, I do understand.
While the trials are taking place, you will refer to me as Sir.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. And you will refer to Catherine as Madame.
Okay, Madame.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I've actually got a documentary recommendation on Netflix for you.
For you?
For you to watch and
for you,
recommend.
For you?
Sir.
Oh, interesting, Eben. Please continue.
It's called Fire Festival, and it's around the greatest...
Seen it.
Music.
Seen it. It's a great film, isn't it?
It's really good.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's another film on Hulu. I don't even know what Hulu is, really. About the same festival, but it's got an interview with the guy that muffed it up.
Because I'm quite a newcomer to Netflix. I only got it last 2 weeks ago.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty exciting.
It won't be in a week. you'll have completed it in a week, trust me. How's your dad doing? Is your dad all right?
Yeah, he's doing really well. He's finding it a bit odd, me being away.
I bet he is.
He hasn't been home yet at all this year.
Has he turned your bedroom into a jacuzzi room yet?
No, I'm too busy because I'm doing too much work.
Too busy doing too much work?
Yeah.
Madame.
Thank you very much indeed. You've really got to focus on that, Eben. It's nice to talk to you, mate. I'm glad your dad's all right, but from now on you will... Well, just while the trials are on, just because it's an official... We're kind of in an official procedure process, and so we have to follow...
I mean, it might seem excessively harsh to some people, but...
It might do. But that's... Listen, I don't make the rules. Jeez, if I made the rules, it would be a whole lot easier and a lot simpler. It's just the way it is, I'm afraid. That's the way it goes. Here's some exciting news. So June the 25th, we got Johnny Eccles coming in. Right, Johnny Eccles is the lead guitarist from Love, right? Arthur Lee died, I think it was 10 years ago. It may have even been 12. I think it was 10, actually. Arthur Lee, Love, Forever Changes, Da Capo, For Sale. What was the first album called? Was the first album just called Love? Maybe it was just called Love and Da Capo. Anyway, brilliant. I'm a big fan of Arthur Lee. Johnny Eccles was the original guitarist. He's doing one more tour because he's old. And he's bringing over Baby Lemonade, who backed Arthur Lee for longer than any other band. They're a great band. They're doing a tour. Thoroughly recommend it. Anyway, they're coming in here. I don't know if it's live or pre-recorded because they're flying over a day early to come in and do an acoustic session for us, which I'm totally fanboying out. Honestly, I'm so excited. It's going to sound amazing. And I cannot wait to just interview. I've interviewed Johnny before, but the other people in the band. And also, they've got a new single coming out, which I've heard. And it's great, man. Proper 60s Love vibe, you know, it's stunning. So that's something to look forward to.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Go to line two. Hello, line two.
God. You again, really? I actually got to speak to the producer.
Okay, I'll pass you over to the producer now. Catherine, this one's for you. You're on the air, by the way.
Hello.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Okay. Well, now, you were extremely dismissive of me last Tuesday. I've made 5 complaints.
Excuse me, who's this, please?
Recorded.
What's your name, please?
And, well, what's the relevance?
Because I'm trying to remember your call.
I've made 5 complaints. I've referred to my name and all the complaints I've made, okay?
Okay, well, was it about this show?
Sorry?
Was it about this? Listen, just drop the attitude, because we're being friendly, so you be friendly. Was it about this show?
Okay. Yes.
Right, what was the complaint? Because I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay. I rang up with a major moral dilemma, okay?
Right. Oh, you're the blind guy that was rude to me.
I don't think I was actually rude.
I think you were very rude. We tried to help and you were very rude and it didn't work and so we cut you off. That's fine. Listen, if you complain, carry on speaking to the person that you complained to because, it's got nothing to do with me. I thought you were rude. It was my show and so I cut you off. And you're phoning up with attitude again, dude. I don't know what the problem is.
No, Ian. I really relate to you so much.
You asked for advice and I gave you some and you told me that you weren't interested in my advice, so...
Gave me no advice. However,
sorry,
you're going to cut me off again.
I did give you. I tried to give you some advice, and you told me you weren't interested in it, so it seemed pointless.
You just wanted to talk.
No. What I tried to do was let me to explain the whole situation.
You explained that you're 50 years old and you're blind, and a load of 20-year-old stoners are coming round and taking advantage of you and smoking drugs in your place when you don't want them to.
That's not exactly what I said at all.
Well, I've paraphrased it, but that was the scenario, yeah. Listen, dude, if you've complained about me, I don't really want to speak to you. You carry on speaking to the person you've complained to.
He's been ringing various producers off air, different programmes.
Well, then that's fine. You carry on complaining, but...
You can't even get to the bottom of this.
What?
You're not letting me...
I let you speak for about 10 minutes the other day with a really boring story that was on a show that we had a lot of vampires in, sucking the vibe out. My show is to make my job is to make this show entertaining, right? We'd had a series of calls that were not entertaining. I tried to offer you a suggestion and you shot me down. There you go.
Series of calls. Here's the thing. You had a series of calls, and this is what I think it went the way it went. And this is, you had a lot of people who were upset with life and they got sad circumstances, and I was actually the fourth one in a row where they got...
Dude, you don't have a right to be on the air. It's not a right, it's a privilege.
I think I've got that right?
Yeah, I do, because there's a real arrogant vibe about you. Yes, I think you think you've got that right. So what do you want tonight? What do you want tonight?
Okay.
We can barely hear you. Listen, we can barely hear you. You haven't got the courtesy to take the phone off speakerphone. Normally, I would cut people off for being on speakerphone this long, so you're getting more time than most people.
Okay.
Oh, well done. Now you're showing some manners.
Okay.
Right, so what do you want?
Right. Point number one,
I cannot
use my mobile phone to make phone calls.
Well, you're using it now.
Sorry?
You're using a phone now. It's fine. All right. How many points are there?
Because
you're using.
I'm not using a phone.
Jesus. Well, what are you using?
I'm not, Ian.
Well, what are you using then?
Google Homes.
Brilliant. That's great. Okay. Well, it sounded crap before. Now it sounds all right. How many of these points are there? Because you're boring me again.
I'm trying to be respectable. Boring you. All right. Okay. I don't know where to start with this.
What is your complaint? I don't even know what your complaint is. Why are you phoning up tonight?
Because I still feel upset.
All right, I'm really sorry that you feel upset. Here we go. I'm really sorry that you feel... Right, shut up, I'm talking.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry that you feel upset.
Yeah.
I was quite upset after that phone call because I found you rude. So I've apologised. Will you apologise to me?
Ian, I apologised that night.
No, you didn't.
I apologised again.
You didn't.
Yes,
you can apologise now.
Okay. I unequivocally apologise for anything I said that may have caused the slightest offence whatsoever.
Okay, I sound
sarcastic, but I actually mean that sincerely.
Okay, I can do it. Shut up! I can do it more. I can do it without sounding sarcastic. I unequivocally apologise for any offence I may have caused you by anything I said the other day. I'm really sorry.
Apology accepted.
Right, fine. So what do you want now? I don't want to hear the same boring story again.
Okay.
Here's because I told you I'd started to give you my opinion and you said you didn't want to hear it.
No, right. The way it went was...
I don't want to go over it again. It was boring then. It's boring now.
I'd asked him about Ricky Gervais, right, and I hadn't seen the TV thing. Then I mispronounced the word.
Listen, we've apologised. Are we cool or not?
Yeah, we're cool.
Right, okay. Thanks very much for calling.
Congratulations.
Bye-bye.
Don't cut me off.
Well, we're done. What else is there?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, you're allowed to ring up and talk about anything.
Well, you have for 5 minutes. You talked out your ass for the last 5 minutes. What else do you want to say?
You think I'm trying to make a point about you?
What? No, I don't. What else do you want to say before I cut you off?
What would you like to talk about?
Nothing with you. I don't want to talk about anything with you.
But why?
Because you're boring and it sounds like you're drunk.
No, I'm neither boring nor drunk. I need to take medication.
Well, I apologise for suggesting that you might be drunk then, but you are boring. And listen, if you've got nothing to talk... People phone up with stuff to talk about, man. If you've got nothing to talk about, I'll move on to someone who has.
I just got put right straight to air.
Yeah, because you're calling from a withheld number. So yeah, I take the withheld numbers myself, not Amy.
I speak to a producer, not being
I'm the producer and I'm on air.
So
I know you are.
Well, there you go, dude. So listen, we've got nothing
to...
We've said
also, talking to producers on different shows is not the way to do things. You've been ringing up, like, when we weren't on air. Why did you do that? You should just rung through and spoken to Ian.
Well, maybe it's got something to do with my sleeping habits.
Maybe. Okay. Well, listen. All right. Listen. We've both apologised. I'm cool. I'm cool as long as you're cool. Well, I will do because everyone gets cut. Here's the thing: the most boring people are the ones that get upset when they get cut off. Everyone gets cut off. You've been on longer than a lot of other callers, and you've got nothing else to say. If you've got something to say, then say it, and you can stay on.
Ian, can I just ask you one question?
I may not answer it.
Well, no, it's fine. If you don't, it's okay. I'll just go away and, complaints over. However, excuse me one second, I just need to cough.
However, geez, that was a wet one.
Look, no, it's not too bad. Occasionally, people ring up and you ask them questions, yeah? You're engaging them. Excellent. Look, I'm still going to keep listening to your show, but I don't think you care about that anyway. However...
You said you were going to ask a question.
I want you to ask me a question about anything. AMA. You AMA me, right?
What's AMA?
And I'll respond. Ask me anything.
Ask me anything. Well, right? What was the question you were going to ask me when you just said you were going to ask me a question? That's my question to you.
Well, there wasn't one. That's why.
So
I
you
asked
lied.
You.
So you lied.
That's not a lie.
You just said you were going to ask me a question, and now you're saying there wasn't one. So you're a liar. This is incredible.
God, Ian, your hard work. Right. Okay. Well, I didn't even. Now you're making me think of a question when I haven't even got one.
Well, now you're making me think of one when I haven't got one.
Yeah, I know, but I said AMA me first.
I don't want to ask you anything. I'm not interested in you.
Yeah, I know, but no, just repeating the same things. Right, now you're being boring. You're going to cut me off, I know it. But I asked you to ask me a question.
But I haven't got any... I'm not interested in anything. I'm not interested in you.
Ian.
I'm going to phone up your people you work with, not your boss. I'm going to phone up people you work with and complain about this phone call and the way you're speaking to me.
Ian.
But I'm not going to phone your boss. It's just people that sort of work in the same building but don't have anything to do with you.
I think I've actually got a boss.
I'm going to phone up people that you know but don't really sort of know you that well and complain about this call.
Why don't you just ask me something? Have a conversation about something. We can talk about, we can talk about Brexit or... human relationships or football or something.
Right. I don't like all of those three things.
All right, okay, fine. I'm trying here.
to actually... Because the thing is, Ian,
yes.
I actually have got so much respect for you, and you're just bashing me, all
I'm
right?
Not, I'm not. You don't know how the show works. Listen, how long have you been listening to the show for?
What, tonight or in my
whole
life?
In total.
About 2 years.
Right, you need to listen to it a bit longer. Because I don't think you got it.
Ian, I think I do, but anyway.
Well, you don't, because you're asking, getting me to AMA you.
Yeah, but what am I supposed to do? It's like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you. Oh. I actually thought I was going to ring up and speak to a producer.
You have done. You've spoken to one of the best producers. You've spoken to an award-winning producer.
I've had to five times.
No, you haven't. You haven't spoken to me. You haven't spoken to me.
No, not you. No, Kat, not you.
Catherine, I'm the producer of this show, and if you've been listening for 2 years, you should know that.
Yeah, I know, Catherine Boyle, I know who you are.
Okay, Mark.
Because I've been listening to you. I know who you are as a person, right? As in, regards to this show. But I have to speak to other people.
Dude, we're going around in circles.
Here's what I think you're angry about, tell me if I'm wrong. Here's what I think you're angry about.
Yeah, go on.
You thought you were going to come on and it would be a loving, and you would, because you like Ian and you want to be sort of pally with him.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. You're correct, 100%.
All right. So.
Fine.
Okay.
I didn't get it. However, the way that I was dealt with,
dude, we've sorted that out. We're going around in circles.
If you ring this station, right, you're throwing the dice, basically. You never know what you're going to get.
No.
And unfortunately, there are three people on before me who had deep emotional...
Dude, we're going around in circles.
I was there. That's not what happened.
Dude, we're going around in circles. This is so boring for me and for the listener and for everybody else, okay? We've apologised and made peace on that. Is there anything else you want to say? Yes, I am going to cut you off. Everyone gets cut off. You've actually had significantly longer than a lot of other callers tonight. So everyone gets cut off. And the people...
I didn't expect to put to air.
Tough. You did. You could have put the phone down at any point. You were told straight away you're on air. You could have put the phone down. We're all a little bit busy. We're all a little bit too busy at the moment to have a little chit-chat off air.
Right. Okay, well, I guess that's the way it ends then, really, isn't it?
The people that complain about being cut off are usually the ones that have the least to say.
Right, I think I've actually spoken out, even though I was caught out by not expecting to be on national radio tonight.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. Like, if you listen to the show for 2 years, you know... If you listen to the show, you know that sometimes people go straight to air.
Yeah, all right. Yes, I realise that, but I wasn't expecting it. All
okay,
right,
well,
fine.
Well, it happened.
I made a mistake.
You've had 10 minutes to get used to the fact.
Why don't you ask me a question?
I don't want to ask you anything. I don't want to know anything about you.
Don't like me, do you? You're boring. Boring, really?
Okay. Here's a question. Right, can you tell me something interesting, please?
Okay. Give me one sec. Do you realise, do you understand why, have you got a dog?
No.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. You can't use language like that on the radio. We're going to cut you off now, you potty mouth. Thank you very much indeed.
Well, that went well.
You can't say words like that, not on the radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Last 15 minutes of the show, thereabouts. If you want to give us a call, you know the number. Let's go to Nigel. Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian. All right.
How are you doing? Yeah, I'm good, thanks. What's going on?
Oh, I was feeling quite bad earlier. You know, that I'm starting to feel lonely now, you know, without Mum. You know, she's been here so long. I'm starting to feel her missing, you know.
Yeah, I get that, of course.
And I've not felt... because I've kept busy. If I sit quietly and try and just relax, it feels worse. So I had to find something to do, like washing up and cleaning or something, you know.
Have you tried talking to her?
I mean, I did my prayers. That made me get up and do something positive after I did my prayers.
Yeah. Because my dad passed a few years ago, but I still talk to my dad. I find it very comforting.
Yeah. Yes, I do talk to her. Yeah, good. In my mind as well. Yeah. In my prayers. Well, in my prayers, basically.
Yeah, cool. If that works for you, then that's great.
I just say to her, please help me to carry on.
Oh, mate. Oh, no.
Yeah. Because I'm finding it hard to carry on, honestly.
I know you are. It must be a real struggle.
It's more difficult for me than anyone else.
Yeah, we get that.
I'm sure, because I haven't got family around me, you know, like a lot of people.
Well, you know, we are... Catherine is still talking to a few people that might be able to help at some point, okay? These things, unfortunately, take a little bit of time.
It's only beginning to hit me now, really, basically, because it's so quiet without her here. But I know I shouldn't be stuck to my mum's apron strings, but...
Oh, no.
It's just such a shock, you know, isn't it, really, basically?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. And I see visions of what she looked like, you know, when she was sitting next to what she had. And when she was walking through the door with a cup of tea saying, I'll come back and shut the door in a minute. And you know, little things that remind you of her, you know?
Yeah, of course. That's only natural.
I rang up to tell you that I went back to Helen Grant's place today in Maystone.
Yeah. That's the MP.
I try to go to Maystone every day, which gets me out to meet people. And I met her secretary that's there all the time.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting what her name is now. But she gave me £5 to get some food today, something out today. That was good of her.
That is above and beyond. That is very
good. She gave me £5 because she was, you know, she felt sorry for me. So that was good of her.
Good for her.
I've got a new friend there. She's about 40.
Okay.
So we're just friends now. But she already knew about me. She said, "Are you Nigel?"
Oh, Nigel, you're breaking up.
Yes, is that better?
Yep.
Yeah. So after that, I went to the solicitor to see about the letter from the hospital that said they made a blunder about her bed sore. I told you before, did I?
You did mention that, yeah.
Yeah, I've got this letter that the hospital said take it to a solicitor. So I've got one now that I had a bit of an interview with his secretary.
Yeah, solicitors are really can be really expensive.
I know, but they did say it could be one way or the other. They'll let you know whether, you know, they tell you one way or the other whether it's going to be worth it or not.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
No win, no fee.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. But it says in the letter that she was mistreated in hospital. I can't believe it, to be honest, on top of her dying. Mistreated with this painful bed ulcer, and she was in agony, in pain. So he kept piling in the painkillers, and I believe the painkillers probably killed her in the end.
Well, possibly. I mean, she was very ill and very old.
Yes, but she was okay until... The fall didn't kill her because she only cut her head open and broken her wrist, that's all.
Yeah, but, listen, I don't want to say that, you know, the hospital may have mistreated her and they may have mistreated the bed sore, but, you know, something as simple as falling over and breaking a bone can be enough. If someone's old and frail...
to stop the kidneys working.
I don't know.
The main thing was the kidneys not working.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that, Nigel. So
that's what the doctor said,
a bed sore isn't going to make kidneys stop working, is it?
No. And she had blood poisoning as well.
Who knows? You know, here's the thing. Who knows what was wrong with her before she went in?
Well, she wasn't perfect before she went in.
You might not know that the kidneys are not working for a while.
Yeah. I just don't want to talk about it, really.
Okay, well, you don't have to talk about it.
The point is that I want to get it sorted, you know.
Okay. Well, be prepared.
They said I may be entitled to some compensation for the blunder in the hospital.
Okay.
Which would be handy for me, wouldn't it, with all the money troubles.
It would be very handy. It would be very... Just be aware that these no-win, no-fee solicitors take a big chunk of any money that is awarded. As compo. A big old chunk of it.
So that's sorted. That's one thing I kept putting off, that's one thing sorted. Yeah. And I've put my electric bills on hold at the moment until they've read the meter.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a good idea. So I said to the person that I'm going to get someone to read the meter, and can you put it on hold for a couple of weeks? that gives me a chance to save some of the money.
There you go. That sounds like a plan.
It was a good idea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So now I've got to put some money in the bank for the phone, for the my phone that I'm using, so that I can keep my phone working all the time.
Yeah.
My phone is very important to have a phone.
Now there's a way of getting a cheaper phone deal. I don't know what kind of package you're on.
There isn't really, because they're going to do a cheaper thing for me. That's why they want the money in the bank, so they can do, you have to have money in the bank before they'll do it cheaper. A month, you know.
Right.
I've sorted that as well. Anyway, yeah. The phone people are around. So I've been quite busy, really.
Yeah, good.
And I got up earlier today as well. I wasn't in bed.
Yeah.
So long. I couldn't sleep anyway.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry.
There's so much going on.
You're doing so well, Nigel.
I just wish she was back.
You're doing anyway, so well.
Yes, she would be proud of me.
She would be very proud of you. She is very proud of you, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. I don't want to get too upset, but I don't. Anyway.
When do you reckon we might get a song off you again?
Did you want one tonight?
Maybe not tonight. If you're not feeling up to it.
I could do one now if you wanted to.
Would you want to do a song tonight?
I was hoping to do one.
Well, in that case, Nigel, let's have a song tonight. Let's do a cappella.
Something I've done before.
Go on in.
But Nigel's time would be all right. The Nigel's time.
Nigel's time would be perfect.
Thanks. Okay, it would really cheer me up to do it, actually.
Yeah, you go ahead and you sing Nigel's time. Yeah.
This could be for Mum, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And all my fans. They asked me on Facebook earlier, are you going to ring up and talk to Ian Lee? That's how pop. Oh, someone put £10 through the door the other day. One of my friends on Facebook in Maystone. That's how much they think of me.
There you go. Well, that's something. Darren, I wish someone to put £10 through my door. If anyone wants to put £10 through my door, I will happily take it. Good for them. That's kind.
So I couldn't believe it when I looked on the Facebook page. There was a message saying, "I put £10 in your door." He didn't put a note saying who it was.
No, but you put a note with a picture of the Queen on, and that's more important. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Pardon?
I'm making a joke about the notes. Go on. Let's have this. What are you going to sing? Sing Nigel time.
Yeah. Okay. Is it clear now when I'm talking in this position?
Beautiful.
Is it clear now?
It was the first time. It wasn't the second time you asked.
1-2, is that all right? Okay, 1-2.
1-2, 1-2, check.
1-2, 1-2.
1-2, yeah, 1-2.
Right. Tuning in, calling up, talking to the nation. Sing a song, melody, for your adoration. Late night phoning, I'm keeping you awake. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Oh, it's Nigel's time. Clouds are gone, sun is up on your horizon. Safe at home, back on the phone to my radio station. Late night phone-ins, I'm keeping you awake. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Oh, it's Nigel's time to make a point of view. Nope. Time to play and rock this view. My life's exciting. I'm inviting you to listen for another day. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Oh, it's Nigel's time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Nigel.
I've got the middle bit.
No, we'll do a take two later on. Hey, listen, man, thanks a lot. We'll speak later in the week.
Thank you, Ian.
Cheers, Nigel. Thank you, mate. Bye-bye. That song felt more poignant than it's ever felt before, didn't it? Bloody hell. Here's my worry. Right? He's just on the right side of mental health or whatever to not be picked up. He's just on the right side of being able to be independent and not be picked up.
Yeah, no.
He's not.
But that's what I've said to the people I've been having conversations with, that he's, I think he's too easily dismissed at this point. But I'm hoping...
Oh, God, I can see this having a terrible...
Well, let's hope not. I'm hoping he's going to get back up in time.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Quiet in the shop tonight. We'll welcome anybody. Let's try Alex again. Good evening, Alex.
Hi.
Hello?
Am I actually on the radio?
Would you like to speak to Ian?
Yes, please.
We'll put you through straight after Amanda. Good evening, Amanda.
Hello. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Amanda. How are you doing?
Hey, Amanda.
I'm okay, thank you. I have a couple of suggestions for Nigel. I wondered if perhaps you could pass them on.
God, please do. Yes, go on. What have you got?
Well, the first one is, where I live, there are lunch clubs for people maybe over 60 years old.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if possibly social services or whoever are helping Nigel could tell them about lunch clubs, and at least he would get some food that way.
Well, here's a difficult thing. I've heard from everyone I've sent an email from, apart from social services.
Ah.
But it may be that because of client confidentiality, they want to deal directly with Nigel, so we need to ask him that. But, yeah, they've been very, very quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even a voluntary group could put him in touch with lunch clubs. I don't know if you have to be referred directly through social services.
Okay, well, that's a suggestion. There's what else you got?
I've also got friendship groups. Oh. I remember, I think, Angela talking to you once about she goes to friendship groups.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. You've got a good memory.
Yes. So I wondered if that might be something that Nigel might like.
This is an excellent suggestion, and we will make it to him. We will certainly make these suggestions to him. But the slight problem with Nigel is, I suspect there is some form of, and I'm making a massive assumption here, but it seems pretty obvious there is some form of learning difficulty that makes things a little bit difficult. Someone said that he once phoned us and said that he'd had a brain injury as a kid.
I think
kid.
He did.
Did he?
I
right.
recall that, yeah.
Okay, no. Okay.
Right.
So there's that. It's not just the fact that he's older and that he's not got money. There's also, you know, there's also the way he perceives the world is slightly different.
Yeah.
It confuses.
And the other thing is that although these sort of supper clubs and friendship groups are brilliant, it's kind of a sticking plaster on a bigger problem, which is that he's kind of freestyling at the moment. And what he really needs is just someone to oversee what's going on, because I'm not convinced his bills are in order. And I think he may be paying way over the odds for a number of things. But great suggestions, and I'll just, you know, that's certainly a thought that I've had, and I've had contact with a couple of local charities and some national charities actually with local branches who are all interested in contacting him and finding out how they can help. So I'm sure that's going to be on their minds as well. But thanks for getting in touch.
Okay, there was one other thing I've written down.
Yes.
For Nigel, and that was the Silver Line helpline for people over 55, where he can call 24 hours a day, and it's like a chat. You know, you don't have to have a problem. You can just phone up and chat, I think.
Okay, go on. What's the number?
And I'm afraid I don't have the number.
There we go, Amanda. We will find it. Thank you very much for your help. No, it wasn't. I thought it was for a second, but
no,
it wasn't. Not at all. Thank you, Amanda. Excellent suggestions.
I've got it. 0800 470 8090.
Okay. Okay, excellent suggestions. It's, it's a...
90? How's anyone going to remember that?
You're right, actually, Alex. How is anyone going to remember that, Kathy?
Because it's for 70s, 80s and 90s.
0800 111 111. Call Gay Chat now. Hey, Alex.
Am I still on the radio?
Yes, you are.
Okay, well, I would like to say that maybe, your medication.
His medication.
Yes.
What? Yes. Go on.
I was just wondering.
You can actually hear the delay in your brain. It wasn't who everyone's saying it was online. Can't everyone calm down? Calm down. Yes. Go on.
I know there's no delay in my brain.
I can hear it.
I've decided. Because
above. I just decided.
Like I say, it's quiet in the shop tonight. We'll talk to anybody. But even this is. I'd rather sit in silence for 10 minutes. Go on.
Okay. Well, when people take medication, especially antidepressant medication, I've taken it myself, and I know how some can be different to others. That, how can we stop that? Is it called reverberation? How can we stop that echoing?
Turn your radio off.
Yeah. It's not the radio. It's because he's calling from Spain, I think.
What, is it my computer then?
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
All right, hold on 1 second.
Jesus.
1 second. Right. I'll shut that down. No worries.
This is. This even by our standards, this is poor. This is poor.
Stick with it.
Poor radio. This is sub three counties.
Well, because of me.
Partly, yeah. Yeah, partly.
The problem is when I call you, before I call.
Right, what would you like to say tonight, Alex? I don't want to know the build up to the call because I'm actually losing the will to live. So what have you called in about?
I called in because I wanted to say that maybe the medication that you're taking might not be correct.
And sorry, when did you become a doctor?
No, I'm not a doctor.
Ah,
I'm just
okay.
A guy.
Right, okay.
I'm just an ex-soldier.
Just a guy.
I'm struggling.
Okay.
With stuff.
What makes you think my medication isn't appropriate, doctor? No, there's ex-soldier.
Please. The reason I say that is because you're not the same all of the time as you are normally.
I'm not the same all of the time as I am normally. That doesn't mean anything. No one's the same all of the time as they are normally. No one's normal. No one's the same. Everyone's different. Everyone fluctuates.
Yeah, but no,
you don't because
you're
on a steady diet of booze.
You're a presenter. You're a presenter of a show.
That fluctuates
in
mood and tone.
You have to.
No, I don't.
Pardon?
It fluctuates in mood and tone. I don't have to anything.
But the reason your show is The reason your program is different to the. Do you know what? I've forgotten his name. The guy that's on Next who does the weird things.
Okay, yeah.
Don't
worry about his name. It doesn't matter. Go on.
All right. Okay. The reason that is different is because you kind of listen to people.
Yes. I don't listen to people. I listen to people.
You do sort of.
No, I don't sort of. I do.
But the thing is,
yes.
I think,
yeah.
Is that because you're trying to deal with something, and because of your job,
yeah.
I think
this is painful. This is painful.
It's because I've been drinking.
I know you've been drinking, Alex. You've always been drinking. Stop drinking.
I can't help it. I can't. Yeah, but I can't call you if I haven't been drinking.
I would rather you didn't drink and didn't call us than you'd called us drunk. For your. I don't mean that flippantly. I mean for your own lifestyle.
I know what you mean. But the problem is, I can't. I don't have the confidence to call you.
Well, don't call us then. I would rather you stayed sober and.
I want to.
I would rather. No. Actually, Alex, I'm sending that back. Don't blame my drinking on you calling my show. How dare you?
Pardon?
How dare you blame your drinking on the desire to call my show? You're putting it on me.
The reason you drink is because you can't stop drinking.
Nothing to do with me.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to imply that. That isn't what I said.
oh, that isn't what I meant to say. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to imply that the reason I drink is because I listen to your show. No, I didn't mean that. What I meant was, when I listen to your show, I listen to it all the time, but I can't, I don't have the confidence to call
yes, I
in.
No. Don't blame your inability to stop drinking on my show. It's got nothing to do with my show.
No, I'm not
you're coming up with, yes you are. That's exactly what you're doing. You're coming up with excuses for your drinking. Don't use me as an excuse.
Why, how dare you?
Why
am I doing that?
By saying you can't phone the show.
I will do.
If you shut up.
I don't mean to interrupt.
If you shut up.
No, hang on first.
I don't mean to interrupt.
I need to listen to what you're saying.
Right.
I need to listen to what you're saying from the beginning.
Shut up.
I will do, but
go on, then. Do it now.
You understand.
Do it now.
I'm going to listen now.
Right, thank you.
I'm listening.
Okay. You said you can't phone this show unless you're drunk, right? Don't blame your drinking on a desire to phone this show, which is literally what you've just done three or four times now.
No, that's not correct.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Of course you would. You're an expert at what you do.
Listening.
Alex, you see, this is the problem. Because you're drunk, you're saying things you don't mean. So this isn't going to end well. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
Not really. I phoned up with the best intention.
Yeah, but you're too drunk.
I didn't... No, I'm not too drunk.
Yes, you are, mate.
I'm too confused.
Because of your drinking. Okay.
That's why I phoned your show, I suppose, because...
Stop drinking.
Oh, I don't know.
Stop drinking. It's not helping you, man. Stop drinking.
Okay.
Come on, brother. I stopped drinking. Next week, I think it's next Wednesday... I'm going to be a year clean and sober. Imagine a year since I put any kind of chemical or booze or anything in my body.
But any time that you go to the... If your wife or your girlfriend asks you to go to the shop to pick up a packet of Sprouts or a newspaper, do you think to yourself, oh, I'll just grab a bottle of wine? We can have a little bottle of wine tonight.
Sometimes.
Do you think that?
Sometimes. I had booze in my fridge over Christmas, and when everyone had gone and there was still some booze in my fridge, I poured an open bottle of wine down the sink and then left the hot tap going because it stank, and I gave the other bottles of wine away because I knew that I wasn't particularly safe having booze in my fridge. I didn't think I was going to drink it, but you never know. So, yeah, sometimes I think that, but you don't always have to think that or act on those thoughts.
Dude.
It is hard, man. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It's tough. It's tough. But you listen, you're an ex-soldier, man. You've served. You've seen stuff, and maybe I can understand why you drink, but you've done tougher things than that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your service. You've done tougher things than stopping drinking, man.
And one other thing, I don't want to hog the airtime.
Okay,
so
be quick, because we've got to go. We're late for the news. Go on.
All right, I just have to quickly say, I really appreciate what you do, and you know, I've phoned up numerous times, and I've been drunk, and every time, I get a reply.
Okay, listen, Alex, I've got to cut you off because we're late for the news, man. But listen, you have served in the military. You've done stuff that I couldn't even begin to do, right? And if I can quit booze and drugs, then you can do it as well, man. I'm sure you're a much better human being without it. But thank you for the call. Keith and Julie, stay there. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Wow! I got a mouth for a sausage.
Corny.
Shag a pony. Off with his head. You're a pervert.
I like mine quite hard, and then I like to put it all in my mouth at once.
Kath was a dick.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Is there any way you could make me louder in my ears? I'm very quiet in my ears. I don't know why. It sounds very echoey and quiet. Go and have a fiddle out there. Make it louder in my ears, please.
I'm loud in my ears.
I'm not loud in my ears. I'm at maximum. I'm quiet in my ears. I need it loud, dear listener. Third year and counting. God, try and stop me. You cannot stop me. I'm drunk on power. I'm drunk on power. Good evening, dear listener. 0344 499 1000. It sounds very echoey. It does sound very, very odd and very... If that's the best we can do, it's the best we can do. It's what happens when you have different staff every night. But it sounds shit in my ears, is what I will say. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Remember when John Gaunt said I was going to get the sack? I'm still here 3 years later. I mean, I may not be here next week. There's always that opportunity for things to go awry, but we are still here. So, not a lot to talk about, actually, no. We'll talk about that tattoo guy, a bit boring. Woodstock 50, a bit boring. Very little in the papers. Can we avoid, if possible, I know it's normally open forum here and anything goes, but unless someone's got something brand new to say about Brexit, bless you, unless someone's got something brand new to say about Brexit, let me just see what this guy wants. Hang on. Hey, caller, welcome to the show. They bottled it. Unless, the third time of trying of this sentence. Here we go. Unless someone's got something brand new to say about Brexit. I did actually, well, I was writing a song earlier on called I've Got a Brexit Boner. But I don't think it's in a complete enough state to be broadcast on the fastest growing late night phone-in show in Britain. So we won't be doing that. But unless anyone's got something really different to say about Brexit, can we put Brexit to one side for one night? It's boring, man. It's so boring, man. It's so boring. It's really boring. And also, can we not talk about... for some reason, we get the overspill of Tommy Robinson fans. So can we let's not even mention Tommy Robinson's name on the show, okay? Because... Hello, Catherine. I'm doing a radio show. Now you're booting up.
I had to restart.
Tell me about it. Hey, so I did something weird today, right, which I've deliberately not told you about, right? I did something weird, and it left me feeling very uncomfortable, and I went back to apologise, and then I stopped. I gave myself a reality check. It's like, whoa, calm down. You don't need to apologise for this. You are genuinely suffering trauma from an horrific car crash that you were involved in, where you saw some really horrible things and you held a man's hand. Right? So I'm not making light of that. Genuinely, I'm in trauma. And that was what allowed me to walk away from the situation I had created. It's not that bad. Don't worry. It's not that bad. You haven't got to clear up any mess for me. Okay. But genuinely, I walked away thinking, man, your head's not in the right place at the moment. Your head's in... And I tell you what it is, right? It was kind of an addiction thing. I kind of wanted to act out, right? So I can't take drugs, right? I'm coming 6 days off being a year clean. I think they give you half a spliff for a year. I can't remember. But it's like it's like hash. It's cheap stuff. So I can't have a drink or a drug, right? And I can't act out around sex because I'm working on my attitudes towards sex and my treatment of others. So I can't do that. I'm not acting out around food as much at the moment. I'm not stuffing my face. I've not bought a big bar of chocolate for about a week. Why do you keep calling and hanging up? Yes, you. Hey, 4975, why do you keep calling and hanging up? And then they've gone again. It's weird. We're being stalked. So the behaviours that I've done in the past to make myself feel better, right, I'm really working at not doing, okay? So the thing that I am now struggling with is spending, is buying stuff that I don't really need. It's like yesterday I was putting bids on Dreamcasts, old consoles on eBay. Bids that I knew wouldn't win because I don't really want them, right? So I was putting in bids that got me ahead of everyone else, but I knew that those bids would be superseded or surpassed. Either will do. Both work, both will do. And I've been looking at CB radios, right? So I really want to buy something thinking, and I've just, I really want to buy something, thinking it will, it's the thing that will make me want to stop buying stuff because this is the one thing I need, and this will fill the hole that's in my chest. Remember when we talked to Chris Difford from Squeeze about this, and we found out, I mean, he was a big cocaine, I think it was cocaine, a big drug addict, and got clean, and for a while he replaced that with buying stuff, and it was one of the most wonderful, wonderfully comforting moments I've ever had in an interview, where we both realised that we got a lot of crap in boxes in the boot of our cars, that we both, I said, because I'd never told anyone I'd do that, but just buy, used to buy stuff on eBay. I mean, buy, used to, still do, but would put it in, when I, you know, lived in a marital home, I would keep it secret. So I'd buy stuff on eBay, never open it, and have it in the boot of the car. And when he said that he did that, I'd never heard anyone else say they did that. I thought I was completely nuts and weird and perverted. And it turns out it's a thing. It's a thing. Do you do that, dear listener? You buy stuff on that eBay and Amazon and keep it in the car and don't tell your partner. Anyway. So I really want to... Now, I've been thinking for a long time, right, ever since we went and met Keith and the girl, okay, what Keith and the girl, who are brilliant and fab and we love them, they've got a great setup, right, but they've got one bit of kit that I haven't got, and I clocked it the first time we went, I clocked it the second time I went, and I've been thinking about it ever since, thinking, well, I really want one of those, I'd really like one of those, and that's a good female assistant. I'm joking. It's a joke. It's a little bit of joke. Little bit of joke.
Keep joking. Wait for the laugh.
Okay. Well, they're laughing out there. I can hear them. If you laughed at that, could you... I'll tell you what. Let's just take 10 calls. 5 calls at random, okay? I'm prepared to accept when I'm wrong. And I don't think I am on this one. 5 calls straight to air. 0344 499 1000. Did you laugh at that? Ever so slightly misogynistic... No, actually, I take the misogynism out of it. It wasn't misogynistic at all. You just happened to be a female.
And you mentioned it. That was part of the joke.
Yeah, to identify that I was talking... Yeah, to identify that I was talking from a male perspective. So I had to say it. So it wasn't misogynistic. It was a little bit of fun.
Hang on a minute. You get to decide whether it's misogynistic, is that right? The man gets to decide.
But the person who made the joke gets to decide. No. And by coincidence...
Target of the joke.
That person was mad.
Isn't the joke supposed to be punching up rather than down?
0344 499 1000. Let's just take 5 calls straight to air. Was that joke funny? Yes or no? Let's go to line one. Line one, was that joke funny?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's go to line... That's 1-0. Let's go to line two. Line two, was that joke funny?
I didn't hear it. I'm ringing about CB radio.
Okay, well, that's... We're not... Okay. Okay, I'm going to take that as one for you. Let's go to line three. Line three, was that joke funny?
Kath's statement was funnier, boss.
Sorry?
Kath's statement was funnier.
I tell you what. Why don't you... Instead of you going on speakerphone, why don't you use your hands? That doesn't count, that vote.
Oh.
That vote doesn't count.
I'm surprised.
Well, he didn't say that it wasn't funny.
Well,
going to need the air freshener again in a second. Let's move on.
You're not going to take any more?
Okay, we'll take some more. We'll wait for them. Okay, fine. Let's go to line one. Very busy line tonight. Line one. Was that joke funny, yes or no?
It was shit.
Okay. Fair play. That's honest. It's honest. That was honest speaking from a caller then. I respect that. Line one. Was that joke funny, yes or no?
Yes, it was very funny indeed. Goodbye.
Okay.
He doesn't count. He's made out of felt. He's got someone's hand up his ass.
Okay. Well, haven't we all?
No.
I have.
That would explain the smell.
So, it was a joke, okay? It may have some of the. But listen, this is like a comedy impro workshop. I'm like Richard Ranch. Mm-hmm. This is just a comedy. Paul Merton and friends, Josie Lawrence, Tony Slattery before the cocaine, because he's not funny since he stopped. Let's be honest. I don't know where is Tony Slattery these days. Let's get him on the show. Great guy. Line one. Yes, was that funny or not?
Absolutely hilarious. Well,
thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
I don't think he meant it.
Let's take line two. Was that joke funny, yes or no?
I'm still laughing, mate.
There we go. And the person 5479 that keeps hanging up?
Yes, it was hilarious, mate. Thank you
very much indeed. There we go. Okay, fine. But it's not the true... It's not the true... Sorry. So the thing that I saw that they had... that Keith and the girl had, that I really wanted.
An audience. And?
I want to say it again.
Go on.
Funny female co-host. It's actually quite mean.
It's really mean.
Really sorry. Just seemed it's an easy line.
It's just, I mean, it's...
Sorry.
It's out there now, isn't it?
I could press the dump button.
It's too late.
Is it?
Yep. They all think it's hilarious.
Not all of them. One guy said it was shit.
Well, you know. Is what happens.
So that was outweighed by the guy who was laughing. So.
Well, he wasn't really laughing. I was probably drunk.
Probably. Probably nuts. I'm really sorry. That was bad.
Well, I'm sure you're sorry.
I'm not really.
I know.
Should we have the adverts and come back? And talk,
if you want.
Talk about the mixing desk later.
If
I want.
If you want.
Let's do the adverts, Amy, please.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Nigel.
Could someone get me some water, please?
Oh, it's Alan Partridge.
Could someone get me some water, please?
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Have you actually watched any Alan Partridge or just the trailer?
I only watched the trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do it again. It's very funny. Go on, do it again.
Someone get me some water, please.
It's actually quite good.
Someone get me some water, please.
Now, how would Frank Spencer sound if he was asking for some water?
Someone get me some water, please, Betty. I'm going to be in trouble.
Good work, Nigel.
Hey.
Hello, Nigel from Maidstone.
Hello.
Blessings, season's greetings.
What? Who are you on the radio? Who are you?
Now you sound
I'm going to do something. Hello, Ian. Hello. I'm going to do something different tonight.
Is it going to be entertaining?
Yes, well, you've got to guess which room I... This is through the keyhole on the radio.
Yeah.
And you've got to guess which room I'm in, and then you get a brownie point.
Oh, OK, that sounds like fun. Is it the lavvy? Are you in the lavvy?
I'm going to walk round the house, and you've got to guess where do you think I am now.
Are you in the lavvy?
No. I'm in the front room at the moment.
Oh, well, you've just told us!
Oh, sorry.
We're supposed to guess!
Hang on, we should start again. Ask yourself... Who lives in a house like this as we go through the Nige hole?
Oh, I don't want to go through Nigel's hole.
Who lives in a house like this as we go through Nigel's household?
What?
Nigel's household?
Wow. Through your household.
So where do you think I am now, Ian?
Sorry?
Where do you think I am? I'm just going down the passage of the hall. Just going into my bedroom.
Right. Are you in your bedroom?
Not yet. Can you hear that squeak?
Yes, I can. What is that? Is that your knob?
Well, my door wants oiling.
Okay. It's your door, is it? Okay.
Oh. I've got something to tell you. That's what I rang up about.
Are you in your bedroom?
Not yet. I'm just going to switch the lights. Huh? There we go.
There we go. Are you in your bedroom now?
I'm in my bedroom now, yeah.
We're all in Nigel's bedroom.
Here we go.
This is a first of me sitting on the bedroom on the radio.
It's a first, yep. What have you got to tell us tonight? What have you got to tell us tonight, Big Nigel?
I had a meeting with Helen Grant.
Oh.
This afternoon.
The MP.
Yeah, and I got to know her quite well, and she was a lovely lady. And I've got to next week. I've got to see a social worker. They're gonna call. I've got to meet a social worker and meet the social worker at Helen's place, which is okay, isn't it?
No, it's not okay. This is brilliant, Nigel. This is
brilliant, yeah.
This is absolutely brilliant.
They want me to keep coming to see them, you know, as a friend as well. So I've got some friends. They want me to be friends with them.
Now, here's the thing, Nigel. When you're talking to the social worker, you have to share everything with them that you've shared with us about you being hungry, about me buying you food for a week because you didn't have any food in, about your worries about the phone.
Take
all the bills, the phone bill, the electricity, about pawning your mum's stuff.
Tell them that you were so cold you stayed in bed that day.
You've got to tell them all of that.
Yeah, of course.
The depression, how you miss mum, how you're lonely.
Yeah.
Tell them all of that. The more they know, the more they can help you, okay?
Helen told me to stop worrying, she said. That was a...
Helen Grant, ladies and gentlemen, I mean...
Stop worrying, but...
She sounds like... Nigel, she's your MP, right? If she is taking an interest in you like this, she's right then to say don't worry. She's right. She's. Yeah. I'm thoroughly impressed by her. This is a big thing for an MP to do, man.
I took my photo albums of me singing on stage and drumming, all the stuff I've done, the entertainment.
Good.
And pictures of Mum as well.
Good.
And so she was impressed by my photos that Mum took.
Good.
Good. And well, so I'm going back into the front room now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send Helen a little DM and say.
Frank Spencer's voice.
Yeah, go on.
So I do it in Frank Spencer's voice. Well, we're going down the passage now, Betty. Go down the passage, Betty.
Okay.
Let's go a bit quicker. Quicker, faster, Betty.
Well, someone's.
I knew he was in a good mood.
Someone's sounding a little bit perky. Hey, Nigel, what's the chance of getting a Carrick Fergus out of you?
Pardon?
What's the chance of squeezing a Carrick Fergus out of you?
Right, I haven't got my thing fixed up.
Can't you do it Acapulco?
I can sing you another song, can't I?
Of course you can.
I've told you everything about.
Good. Nigel, let me play some adverts. When we give you a couple of minutes to think of a song.
Yeah.
Then when we come back, you can sing it, all right?
Okay.
Nice one. Well, Helen Grant MP. Well done, her. Very, very classy move. Very classy move. I am, I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by that.
I'm welling up a bit.
I am. And yes, everyone, we get it. Nigel is in a privileged position, and as much as he's got us shouting for him, would someone else get the same treatment? We don't know, right? We don't know. Of course, the system is flawed, but let's enjoy this little moment of someone doing something good. I don't mean us. I mean of Helen, of an MP doing something for a member of their community. All right, so let's just enjoy that moment. That is great. And you know, if Helen Grant MP, if you want to tweet her and say thanks, I'm sure she'd appreciate that. I'm certainly going to send her a little private message, because that is brilliant. Nigel, stay there. We're going to get a song from you after this.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome, live from one of the rooms in his house, let's hope it's not his back passage, singing for us tonight, all the way from Maidstone, it's Nigel!
Oh, hi, Ian. I've got something else to tell you.
Oh, Nigel, we were all set for the big song! Go on.
I know, but I must tell you, I've got a picture on her Twitter, on Helen Grant's Twitter, that she took a photo.
Oh.
Well, she didn't. Someone else took a photo of us. She goes, I can't get it. Can you check it out now?
I'm looking.
On Twitter.
Hang on a minute. Let's have a little look.
Helen Grant on Twitter. You did it before. You've spoken to her.
Let's have a little look.
And I'm going to sing to Sinatra in a minute.
She hasn't posted a picture yet.
Oh, it's not on there yet, but it will be, because her secretary took it.
Unless you're a young black woman, which I don't think you are. No, I don't. No, well, it's not up there yet, but let's see how it goes. What song are you going to sing for us tonight, Nige?
This one now. This is Sinatra video. I'm just going to join in. You'll be able to hear me join
Beautiful.
In.
Beautiful. I can't wait, buddy.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Turn the volume up.
Oh.
Oh, Nigel.
I'm a sacrifice, and come what might, for the sake of having ear, in spite of the warning voice that comes in the night and repeats and repeats.
Oh, hello? Nigel? Hello, Nigel? And normal service is resumed.
Wake up to reality. And each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin, because I've got you under my skin. Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Sinatra and his music. A man and his music. Is that right?
It was lovely.
Well, the next bit's coming up. Hang on.
No, I'm sorry.
The vice, anything, come what might, for the sake of having an ear, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know you fall? You never can win. Why'd you wake up to mentality? Wake up to mentality. Any time that I do, get the thought of you make me stop before I begin.
because I've got you. Yeah, I've got you,
yeah,
baby,
we've just about
under
got you.
My skin.
Nigel! Thank you, Nigel!
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you very much. By the way, can I just say, right, please tweet Helen Grant. Please don't tweet. I can see a few of you tweeting. I don't normally like Tories, but please don't. I mean, it's up to you what you tweet, but you know what? That ain't helpful. That is, who, this isn't about politics. This isn't about party politics. This is about, you know, someone who's part of the show and has been part of phone-in radio for 20-odd years getting a break when they're at their lowest. Please don't tweet. I've seen three tweets now saying, hey, Helen, I normally think Tories are scum, but what you've done is... It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help. You don't have to. Just think about it before you send it. I appreciate you sending supportive tweets, but it doesn't help. It doesn't add anything, I don't think. So I wouldn't tell you what to tweet, but please, please, please. It just makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. It feels like a backhanded compliment. It feels like you're saying thanks and then slapping them a little bit. And there's no need for it. There's no need for it. You know, my politics quite well. I've not made a point of saying, hey, you, because it's irrelevant in this. She is doing the job and she's doing it in a really classy style. And I just worry that if there's any hint of snark from us, from our team, and by that I mean you, dear listener, I mean me and Kath as well, we're being very careful about what we say. If there's any hint of snark that could cause someone who's, not just Helen, but cause someone who's helping us to go, oh, well, I'm getting...
Yeah, we don't want her to feel pressurised to doing it. She's doing it because... I think she's doing it because she's someone who's got a sense of public duty and she's a good woman. And she's doing a bit. She doesn't, like you say, she doesn't need it.
So just easy.
Her
easy
and her assistant have played an absolute blinder,
I'm
right?
I'm blown away.
I've been doing similar things, you know, not all the time, but
imagine
it comes up.
Steve Baker.
It comes, exactly. It comes up now and again, right, where I have to get in touch with MPs and ask them for help. Sometimes they help. Sometimes they never respond. Sometimes I really have to push, right? I didn't have to do that with Helen. She was straight on it. As soon as she saw my message, she went into action. And not only did she say she was going to do something, she started doing it. And listen to Nigel tonight.
It's what a difference. And also, as you said, Kath, early on, she's kind of quite busy right now. They're all kind of quite busy right now. So the speed at which she's acted. So I would just urge you, listen, you tweet what you want to tweet, guys. It's not up to me, but... I just think going in with a slight comment like that, I just don't think it helps. This isn't about whether you vote Tory or Labour or it's not. You all sound a bit like Jeremy Corbyn walking out because Chukwuemeka's in the room. You know what I mean? Just sit in the room with Chukwuemeka. Doesn't matter. All right. Just sit in the room. Shake his hand. Be the big man. Offer to make Chukwuemeka a cup of tea.
Here's the thing. Can we just accept that something nice has happened?
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, God, it happens so rarely. Let's enjoy it. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.